much about. So easy. You gotta put it into
perspective. If you're like me, you like talking to things. Hello, lamp. Hello, pants.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
When you see a big-ass dog running around, there's something else that you see. And you know what that is?
No.
Dog poop.
Dog.
Dog poop. When you got a dog running around, it's going to be big old piles of dog poop everywhere.
Seriously? What the f*** is going on right now?
You know, I'm not going to take the bait here. I am not a racist, all right? I watch a lot of black porn. I mean, a lot.
One question. In this porn, is the man black or the woman black, or are they both?
Is one of those racist and the others aren't?
I'll hack his browser history. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yep. Hold on. That's unnecessary. Hold on.
And now.
Sure, I like that. Yeah, why not?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 10th of May.
What's up, party people?
What's happening?
Well, it's the 12th of May.
Yes, it is.
So there's that.
Just make a note. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
I was out of town for the weekend and kind of lost track of the dates and didn't even think anything of it. When Kevin could have said it was the 19th of June, I would have noticed.
I was in town and lost track of the date.
Yeah, it's sometime in the spring, yeah. I guess. So we should start keeping track of how long into each show we make our first mistake, because that would be a competitor for about as quickly as you can do it, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Do we start timing from when we start playing the intro? Because sometimes messed up.
Because sometimes we screw that up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I've been certainly guilty of that a few times.
I don't think Kevin's beat any records.
Well, I think I have for those of us who speak on the air.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was pretty darn good.
I mean,
good. There's
no possible way I could have screwed up earlier.
No.
So.
Yes. What?
Yes.
So hockey is a thing.
Yes.
And I was left town and the Kings were up 2-0.
Yeah.
And I know that's, sad news for our many Ducks fans who listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, because technically we're rooting for both of you. But I thought by the time I got back, they would all be wrapped up, because the last two games were played at Staples Center, right? So clearly with the Kings fans, there's no way L.A. loses those games, right?
No, that's absurd. They were the best team in the NHL the entire season.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you hope that, but no, that's absurd to think that it's going to be a sweep.
So right? How'd that go? So what happened?
Poorly. Lost two games.
Were you there?
I was.
What was your read?
Boy,
if Coach Sutter had come to you and said, "Hey, Kevin, I'm dying out here. What do you got for me? What would you have advised? What could you have changed? Play better?
Shall have fewer goals?" Right. That and get Donald Sterling involved somehow.
Because that's what you need.
Right.
Tell me about 20-year-old John Gibson, who now could have sex with every woman in Orange County. Tell me about him.
I don't know one thing about him, except for that I don't know anything about him.
Okay.
I've never heard of him. I don't know where he came from. I think they pulled him up for the minors or something.
They pulled him up from the minors. This game four that he won was only his fourth ever start in the NHL.
Yeah.
He is 20 years old. By the way, he's won all four games that he's been up to start.
Yeah.
And it's a playoff game, and they put him in a playoff game, and he's 20, and he wins.
Yeah, there was a Ducks fan in front of me that just kept yelling, "He's 20! All game. And we were like, all right, he's 20.
He was born after Teemu Selänne was already playing professional hockey. He was born after that, and now he's playing on a team with him.
How old is he?
I think he's 20. Pretty impressive young man, though. Does not appear to be at all rattled by it at all. I mean, he's just very low-key and just goes about his business and, just so much confidence. So I guess Hiller, the Ducks' main goalie that got him here, he's hurt. And then the backup guy is hurt, too. So that's why they bring up a guy who's 20. But pretty damned impressive to go in against the Kings and win. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was great.
And I'll say one more thing, and I don't know if it's too late to help any of the teams that are in the NHL in the playoffs right now, but the player you got to get if you're allowed to trade during the playoffs.
You're not.
I don't know if you saw Vladimir Putin over the weekend.
I did not.
Vladimir Putin played in what is being described as a friendly game, although having said that, it is an amateur league and there are several former NHL players on the team, Russian players on the team. But he played in a game where his team won 21-4, and Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, scored 6 goals and had 5 assists in a game that involved professional hockey players on both sides of the puck. Now, is this you let him skate around you because you don't want to end up in the gulag? Is that what's going on here?
I would only imagine that has to be the case. Because he's like that with everything he does. If he goes and plays golf, he's like Kim Jong-il or whoever, the last ruler of North Korea.
Right, the guy who got all the holes in one on his first time ever playing golf.
This was my first shot. It was a hole in one. That's crazy.
But when we see the video of Putin, though, he's actually doing the things. I mean, he's actually out there riding horseback with his shirt off and things like that. I haven't seen video of this game yet, but I got to imagine they didn't put up the most vigorous defense if a 61-year-old man was able to score 6 goals.
Yeah, I think you pretty much have to let him score.
I think so. But man, is he macho.
Yeah, he sure is.
He really is.
He sure is more macho than anyone else on the planet.
So I would say it seems like he'd be a good get for one of the NHL teams. If it's too late for this year, maybe look at him for next year. Doesn't seem like he's losing any skills.
I don't know. He's did you say 61?
He's 61, right?
Yeah, I think maybe his best days are behind him.
6 goals, hello.
Right, I know. A former NHL players that may have taken it easy on him.
Maybe so.
Maybe no goalie. We don't know. Did you see the video?
I didn't. I did not know.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, Obama made that illegal, but I hear you, man.
Brandon Boyd will be here in studio.
Lisa, are you going to be okay?
No.
Talking about Jesus Christ Superstar, which he will be starring in.
Very cool.
He's awfully dreamy.
Yes, he is. We have
He plays Judas, right? He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, yeah. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA and the NHL. We have, from 24, Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Fantastic. Awesome. Hot Chloe.
Isn't it funny that how many different characters have they had on that show, 24? They come and go. The presidents change. Everything changes, but not her. It's just her and Jack.
Yep.
Right.
And somehow she gets through every single season, and then they start a new one, and she's still right there. So we're going to talk to her about 24, Live Another Day. Is it harder for gay men to remain faithful?
Yeah, we had quite the debate about that in the office.
We'll have to see if we can get time to squeeze that in today, because Ralph brought that up and none of us had any real info. So we're going to take some calls on that. Plus, we have K-Rock Winnie Rose tickets.
We do?
We do.
God, that's very cool.
And we're going to give those to you in the 6 o'clock hour.
All right.
So keep waiting for that. We will take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Avicii and Beck and Foster the People and Fall Out Boy in the Neighborhood and Bastille and Fits of the Tantrums in Capital Cities and lots of other bands on the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 completely sold out. Thanks to everybody who bought tickets. Proceeds going to some great charities. They went on sale Friday, but you can still go because we're giving away tickets on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
hi, Ralph Garman.
That's nice. How you doing, man? That's cool. You know how we roll.
You get a chance to see the bongos in a sold out show.
Oh, bongos. I can't wait for bongos. That's all I care about. Love the bongos.
How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was very, very nice. Another sold-out Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Thanks, everybody came out. And then Saturday, had a little time with the wife, a little date night. And then Sunday, of course, was Mother's Day.
Yep.
Sure.
And we had a lovely day down there at Gladstone's. I hadn't been to Gladstone's in a long time.
Wow.
There at
I heard
Malibu
they completely
the
remodeled it since the last time we went.
I heard that, too, and I went down there, and it's not completely remodeled.
No, it's just, really not.
It's pretty much the same. They just upgraded a little bit. They've got some new tables in there, no more peanut shells on the floor. You know, it's not as casual as it used to be. It's just a little bit nicer, which actually I think adds to things.
I like if you're going to go and remodel something, though. You just a touch.
Well, it's Gladstone's. It's iconic. I mean, it's been around forever. I don't think you needed to do much to that place.
You don't want to monkey with it.
Yeah. They just spruced it up a little bit, which I think was smart on their part.
All right.
And then spent some time on the beach. It was a lovely day.
I heard yesterday that Mother's Day is the busiest day in the United States of America for restaurants.
I can imagine that's
the case. makes a lot of sense, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, I had a better weekend than that guy in Florida. Did you hear about that guy in Florida?
Okay. Which one now?
23-year-old. Went out, got loaded. Apparently was pretty lonely. Couldn't find a lady to have any sexy time with.
No.
As Bean would say.
No, please. No.
So he did what he had to do. Kevin? What's your name? Kevin?
Kevin.
He reached for his empty can of beer. His empty beer can. And said, well, there's an orifice. That's right.
That's pretty sharp.
Well, you know what was the worst part, doctors say, was he decided to twist.
What?
Started to twist the beer can.
Oh.
Hospital spokesperson said he was cut to ribbons.
Oh, my God.
That isn't good for you.
That is not good for you.
Wow.
But he is expected to make a full recovery after they get the stitches out and all that stuff.
Nice job, dumbass.
Indeed.
Wow.
That's why I don't drink Budweiser. A beer can.
That just happened.
How embarrassing. Embarrassing. First of all, that you fit. That's all I kept thinking. If it was a Pringles can or something, I'd be a little more impressed. But
sure.
A beer can.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the weekend box office and see who made what. Neighbors. In its debut, number one this weekend, $51.1 million. Made it number one.
Kevin, how was it?
Awesome.
Yeah, as good as you hoped?
A little bit better. When you see a movie that, you know, you go, okay, I'm afraid I'm seeing all the good parts in the trailer, because a lot of times they really do have to give most of it away to get you there, but it was surprisingly good.
I could tell from the trailer. I thought there was going to be some depth there.
Now, are we willing to admit that Zac Efron is a decent actor?
In this movie, he was, I'd say, really good.
Seems like he was well cast.
Yeah.
I agree.
Really good.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was knocked out of the top slot by Neighbors. It made $37.2 million this weekend. Still not bad. The Other Woman was third. Heaven is for Real and Captain America the Winter Soldier were your top five films. Rio 2, Mom's Night Out. In its debut, made $4.2 million, making it number seven. Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, continued to convince me no one gives a rat's ass about The Wizard of Oz anymore. Made $3.7 million. Number eight, Divergent and Brick Mansions, rounded out your top ten. You know, last week we talked to the lovely and talented Ari Granger from Bad Teacher.
Yep.
And we could have saved some time.
What? Really?
It was announced over the weekend that Bad Teacher, the TV series, has been canceled.
They couldn't have told us that before?
Apparently, they were trying to stave that off, I'm guessing. Huh. After just three episodes, that show is gone.
It was a terrible show, but had some very good actors on it who all deserve better projects, including Ari and including our friend David Allen Greer.
Over the weekend, a lot of the networks talked about what they were canceling and what they were bringing back. CBS, besides canceling Bad Teacher, also canceled Friends with Better Lives. Could have saved some time on that Vanderbeek interview.
Okay.
Hostages? Intelligence? I didn't even know there was a show called Intelligence.
Yeah, that was... I liked Intelligence.
Did you?
The few episodes I saw.
That's so funny. You liked Intelligence.
How dare you, sir?
I'm just saying.
How dare you?
And Robin Williams, the crazy one, has also gone bye-bye.
Thank God.
How dare you, sir? But they added a bunch of new shows. CBS did. Battle Creek, which I'm really looking forward to.
What is that?
That is the story of two detectives cleaning up the streets of Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It's from the creator of House.
Oh.
David Shore.
All right.
He's bringing us that. Cal Penn also stars in that. Madam Secretary, Tia Leone, as a maverick female Secretary of State.
I love her.
Yeah. I like Veep, though.
Yeah.
I love Veep,
I feel like
too.
I've seen that. NCIS New Orleans.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
With Scott Bakula, The Odd Couple with Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon. Finally, someone's bringing The Odd Couple to television. Scorpion with Catherine McPhee and Robert Patrick. It's about spies. And Stalker, Kevin, with your girlfriend Maggie Q.
Oh, I love it.
She plays a detective in the threat management unit of the LAPD. So there's some potential there.
Are these all for September?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up on ABC, Nashville's coming back, which is good news for me.
And me.
And you.
And me.
And Bean. And now you know the rest of the story. Tim Allen's sitcom Last Man Standing still being brought back. Shark Tank's being brought back. The Bachelor, of course. America's Funniest Home Videos for a 25th season will be back.
Wow.
Dancing with the Stars. NBC canceled several shows.
This hurts me.
Community's gone after five seasons.
That makes me sad.
Revolution. After
Does
two
not make
seasons.
Me sad.
Dracula also canceled. But Hannibal's coming back.
Sweet.
Growing Up Fisher will not. Believe and Crisis also not coming back.
These names of these shows.
They really are.
After a while, you can't figure out which one is which.
So, by the way, those are your favorite shows. You have my condolences.
Hannibal has done everything it can to get canceled in terms of the kind of show that it is, in terms of what, how honked up what they're putting on TV is. They're not making any kind of attempt to bring people into that show. It gets weirder and weirder every single week.
Good for
so
them.
God bless NBC for bringing it back.
Good for them. Today is May the 12th or 10th, depending on who you ask in the studio.
That was one or the other.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah! Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on?
All these folks are born today, May the 12th. Ving Rhames is 55 years old today. Emilio Estevez is 52. Tony Hawk turns 46. Jason Biggs, 36 years old today. Love Biggs. Still owes me a car wash, though. Enough to get him on the horn. Malin Ackerman is 36 years old today. Trophy wife also gone.
Yeah.
And Emily Van Kemp. She's in that vengeful...
Revenge?
Revenge. She's in that show.
It is getting harder and harder to keep track of.
It's one word name. I just
TV show.
Crisis, Believe, Intelligence, Hostages, Vengeance, Scandal,
Resurrection,
revenge,
Revolution.
Resurrection. Top a little more work in the title, something I can remember. Doing a crossword puzzle, for God's sakes. Emily Van Camp is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
And by the way, in addition to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose tickets that we have for you this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we also are helping bring Coldplay to town May 19th at the Royce Hall, UCLA. And we're doing that deal where you can win it several times a day, but we tell you in advance when. And the first chance is going to be at 9 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details on how to win your way in to see Coldplay. Roland, is that you?
Yes, it's Roland.
What's going on, dude?
I'm so furious, I can no longer contain myself.
What are you furious about?
Well, I heard you talking all about television shows that were canceled and new television
right.
shows coming back.
Right. That's big news.
Did one of your favorites get dropped?
No!
Okay.
But you're neglecting the most important television news in the history of the medium.
Okay, hold on a sec. Let's think about this.
Important television.
I heard that the Blacklist is moving to Thursday nights. Is that it? No, that's not it. Okay.
I'm guessing that's a no.
There are five new comic book shows coming to television. Five.
All right.
What's happening there?
Let's talk things that matter for once on your show.
Okay, can we just talk about just like the best one, the biggest one, like one
no,
that has somebody that we've heard of?
All of them.
Okay, I don't know that we have
Agent Carter, for example.
Now what's that?
Agent Carter.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, but what is it?
Peggy Carter. Ring a bell?
No, no. Who's Peggy Carter?
Captain America.
Roland?
Captain America's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
From 1946.
Is she in the movies?
Yes, she's in the movie.
I didn't know.
She was in the first movie. Hell yeah, well, Peggy Carter, he falls in love with her before he gets frozen and thawed out in modern times.
And there's a spin-off TV show that she's the star of?
Yes. It will show how S.H.I.E.L.D. came about with Howard Stark, Tony Stark's father, and how they put together the Strategic Scientific Reserve, and they start S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
In the 40s. I got the Nazis.
Do we need that if we already have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, we need it more than life itself.
When does that start, Roland? Is it today?
No, it's starting in September.
Well, maybe phone us back then.
But how are we going to get excited and look forward to it if we don't know about it? Like Constantine. How are we going to do that for Constantine on NBC?
Now, that was that kid who was on American Idol a couple of seasons ago.
Nice reach.
I'm being schooled by Roland.
John Constantine.
Okay. Who's that?
British magician, detective con man who fights dark forces.
I've not heard of that one.
No, I'm not hearing about that at all.
Swamp Thing, ring a bell, anything? Hello? Hello?
We're here. Well,
we're just not sitting around waiting for comic books to come to life. There's
iZombie.
But there's other stuff on TV that isn't based on comic books, and that's good, too.
iZombie?
All right. What's iZombie?
Story of a young lady who's a zombie who takes a job in a coroner's office so she can eat all the brains she has to consume in order to survive.
Ew.
But well, when those people have been murdered, she accepts their memories, and she goes out and revenges their deaths.
All right, that just sounds dumb.
Or awesome! How about the Flash?
Flash Gordon?
Now, I thought the Flash was already on. What?
The Flash, not Flash Gordon.
Okay.
The Flash, Barry Allen, police scientist, struck by lightning, doused by chemicals, become the fastest man alive.
Wait, he was doused by chemicals and hit by lightning at the same time?
Yes.
What are the chances of that?
Very slim. That's why there's only one Flash.
And he can run fast. That's his deal.
He can run fast. He can run beside the buildings. He can vibrate his molecules through solid objects. He's the Flash!
Okay. And he's the one, I think I know this, and I think I'm right about this, he's the one who also is part of the Green Arrow's universe, right?
Yes, he was a spinoff of Green Arrow, the show Arrow. And he's a member of the Justice League.
All right.
And he's one of the great superheroes in the history of comic books.
And that comes on today?
Grant Gustin will be playing the Flash, but also on the show is John Wesley Shipp!
I don't know who that is.
He played the Flash in the 90s.
I don't know who any of these people are. You're
Flash
just
on Flash.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Flash on Flash.
I've never heard of any of these characters or actors, Roland.
Well, maybe you've heard a character named Bruce Wayne or James Gordon. Are those ringing a bell?
Sure, Batman.
Yes, of course. We know Batman. Yes.
Gotham.
Gotham looks like it. Now that's one that I've heard of and looks good.
Gotham!
What? Stop yelling!
The story of Gotham City before Batman starts fighting crime and James Gordon is out there on his own!
Well, how about more of that and less of iZombie and Agent Carter then?
Here's some of the trailer for Gotham if you missed it.
I love this city. And I see it going to hell. Sometimes I think this place is cursed. I won't let it fall apart without a fight.
Citizens of Gotham, we will not, we cannot let these killers and these robbers and these rapists and these thugs win. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch.
Not on mine either! Gotham!
Roland, we've sort of accepted... We've sort of accepted...
Oh, that's better.
I'm terrified to ask what just happened.
Oh, my phaser banks were overloading.
Yes.
At a level of steam.
Right.
Anybody have a cigarette?
Well,
I got to get up on stage and sing that with the guys on Dead Weenie Roast, right?
I'm not positive they need you.
I have to. The kids would be very disappointed if they didn't get some of my version of that song on the stage. Come on.
I'm down. If you want to just bum rush the stage, I'm down. I think that'll be good.
The sold out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 is happening Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. It will be here practically in no time at all. It is sold out. Thanks again for that. But if you want to go, we're going to give you a chance to earn your way in right now. You can play a game to win your tickets for the Weenie Roast at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a couple minutes, and you can play to win.
Let's talk to Brian McDaniel and Rick Mitchell from TMZ.com. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
What happened to Harvey? You guys kill him and put him in a shallow grave somewhere? What happened?
Very close. We wanted to nip this in the bud. We know he normally comes in first thing Monday morning to talk to you guys.
Right.
But he was a little late on his payment to the celebrity gods.
Ah.
So he's sacrificing baby goats right now.
That sounds like the Harvey we know and love. So, Brian, so Rick, you guys, we see you on the TV show. You're in the newsroom as the show gets put together every week on TMZ on television. And you help compile the news and write the site. You do all that stuff, right?
Well, Rick's the producer.
I don't know if anybody's listening. We do everything. Can we say that?
Sure. You can say whatever you want. I mean, that's fine.
So having said all that, then we find out on top of it, you guys are part of a stand-up comedy tour that is going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena this Thursday night. TMZ doing stand-up. Please tell us what this is all about.
Well, we have several people on staff who do stand-up. Me and Rick, who stand in the back and mostly just try to undermine everything everyone says all day long.
Good.
And we also have Katie Hayes, the blonde girl. She's new. She's from New York. You've seen her around. A lot of people have been perving out on her. And also Mike Jones, the guy with the dreads. The guy with the short dreads.
sure.
No, not the other guy with the dreads.
The dreads has been here a long time. The other dreads guy.
Yeah. Right, sure. Yeah. So, exactly. You guys, I mean, it's a whole, just a whole night of comedy. You guys get up one right after another and just do jokes. And is it based on the job you have at TMZ, based on the celebrity stories and that sort of thing?
It's not based on the celebrity stories so much. It's more, you know, all of us have our own lives and that kind of thing. But we are going to have a couple of special guests who you've seen on the show. Comics who we've gotten out before. And the whole thing is sort of like an integrated, cohesive experience. It's all comics who are either on the show or you've seen on the show.
Is there? Okay. Do you guys have to do everything? Is my next question. I mean, do you have to do, like, is there a TMZ musical on the way? And a Cirque du TMZ?
There's a TMZ cruise ship.
Okay, good.
Good. Hotel and casino.
It does seem like you guys have pretty much taken over all of television, and then you got the bus tour that goes around in Hollywood, and then you got the sports site, and now it does seem like you're branching out into the live events. I mean, eventually we are going to be living in a TMZ world, it sounds like. All right, let me give out the information one more time. Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. That's going to be this Thursday night. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Tickets are on sale now for just $15. While we have you guys on the phone from the newsroom, I'm sure you have had a chance to go through the various tape that has been released from CNN about the Donald Sterling interview. What are your thoughts on his strategy and how it will play?
I'm not sure about his strategy from the quotes he gave on the Anderson Cooper show. He said that he thought that V. Stiviano had deluded him because he's 51 years old, older than her, and all this kind of business. But the really interesting quote I thought he said, he was talking about the Clippers and whether he was going to sell them. He said, "They are mine and I am theirs."
Oh, that's the last thing any Clipper fan or player wants to hear.
Not a good time to say you own people.
No.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
So it sounds like even if the NBA owners get together and get the necessary votes to remove the team from him, that he is not going to go quietly and just accept this. He is going to fight it. And we're hearing the same thing from his wife, too, that she plans to fight to hang on to her share.
Yeah, she definitely wants to hang on, although she said she's going to divorce him if that's what it takes. But he also is having a hard time figuring out a way to defend himself because no legal firm will take him on.
Is that right?
Yeah,
the entire law community, for the first time in history, is saying no to someone.
I know, they have scruples. It's amazing. Like, this is how far it takes for a lawyer to actually have scruples about something.
Wow.
I know we haven't seen the whole thing yet, and the interview airs on CNN tonight with Anderson Cooper, but I wonder if he addresses why he took so long to make a public statement. This is the conversation that should have been happening the day that the tape was released.
I think he's just old. He hasn't heard yet.
By the way, that's
just figured it out.
That's very possible because it has been, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing the tape back for him, and he was like, "What? What? Turn it up, please. I can't hear that."
Wow. You know, guys like him, for the most part, are able to sort of hide behind their money because he's so rich. But then when the PR goes bad, they really don't know how to handle stuff. I heard a quote apology that's sort of not at all an apology, where Anderson Cooper asked him if he's talked to Magic Johnson, and he says yes twice. And Anderson Cooper says, "Do you say you're sorry?" And he says, "Well, what am I supposed to do?"
He keeps claiming he's not a racist and that she, you know, she tricked him into saying all this kind of jazz. And his only PR was just to go out and eat at restaurants and be seen. He was like, "Put my chest out," like, as an old man. That was pretty much his only strategy, was be in public and be not afraid.
And I don't think it works to essentially say, "I'm not a racist, but those black people are sure too sensitive, aren't they?"
He does really give a backhanded answer to every single thing. "Well, I'm friends with Magic Johnson. Has he done everything he can for the black community?" "No."
Yeah, that doesn't help.
"I'm not sure now's the time for you to attack Magic."
Right. Right.
Well,
at least he didn't do the generic, "I have some of my best friends are black."
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the whole interview tonight. That's going to be on CNN. Of course, you'll get some continuous updates on TMZ like they do. Don't miss the fine family of TMZ television shows throughout the day and night on Fox. And don't miss the TMZ stand-up comedy tour that's coming up this Thursday night at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. Tickets available for just $25. If you don't remember any of that, you can get the ad on TMZ.com and buy your tickets. Brian, Rick, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us.
1 hour from right now,
We'll go on the phones to London, the one in England, to talk to Marilyn Ricegub. She is Chloe on 24 Live Another Day. She's still over there filming the final episodes of this season, so we got her on the program today. Our friend Brandon Boyd from Incubus is going to be joining us in studio later on today. And by the way, a quick reminder, tomorrow here on the program, Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys will be joining us. Talk about the new record that finally arrives tomorrow. So some good stuff this week here on K-Rock.
We're also giving away tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, and we're doing it with...
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man, what's going on?
Mr. Announcer Man is not quite here yet. We're trying to locate him.
What? Where? How did this happen?
I don't know, but Dave is frantically searching for him right now.
Oh, you're going to have to be Mr. Announcer Man until he gets there.
Sounds good.
All right.
Doesn't this seem like the type of thing that somebody would have given, and I don't know why you even bring up Ralph, he's not involved in this bit at all, but somebody should have told Mr. Announcer Man that we were getting ready to go on the air with the feature.
One might think so, but hey, we're a tight-running ship here.
Yep, a tight-running ship is what we are.
Those are the best ones. All right. Hardest game in the world means that the name of one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast will be said backwards twice, and then you have to tell us what band that is. But you do have the possible pool of the bands that are playing the Weenie Roast.
Okay.
All right, so if you don't know, if it sounds funny to you and you go, wow, I don't know which band that is, at least go ahead and take a guess of one of the groups that is actually playing on May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Center for the Internet. You at least have a chance of guessing and being right. All right, not Mr. Announcer Man. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up is Devin. He's from... Why is my voice so weird?
Mr. Announcer Man, you feeling okay? You sounded weird earlier.
I felt weird earlier. Now I'm feeling better. Why?
We don't know.
Fire beer mug.
Do you feel like you just lost a beard and about 50 pounds?
I do. I feel lighter and cleaner.
All right. First up, I think you said, was Devin on line one. Let's see how he goes for the hardest game in the world. Hey, Devin. Hello, Devin.
We're searching for Devin now.
Yeah, this is Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
This is excellent start so far.
This is a tightly run ship.
That's what I understand.
All right. All right. Devin, we're going to play one of the acts.
Kevin. His name is Kevin.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Kevin with a K.
Yeah, that's a bad name. We're going to play you one of the bands backwards twice. Here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Kevin.
One more time.
Kevin.
That was it?
Yep.
And now you tell us who it is forward.
Nope, can't give it to you more than twice, Mevin.
Shoot.
One of the bands playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
Oh, dear God. Thank you for calling whoever you are.
That was Beck.
Beck.
Yes, it was.
Beck, is still weird. Sorry.
Would that be the easiest one on the whole list, by the way?
Well, you would think.
Okay.
If this is not an easy game, as I understand it.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Who do we have next?
Next up is Matt. He's from Brea.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very well.
Terrible.
Not good. I mean. Matt, here you go. Here's your band.
Yeshiva.
One more time.
Yeshiva.
Oh, come on.
I agree.
Again, very similar backwards as forwards.
Yes.
I think I heard it.
Avicii.
Did you say Avicii?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad that we're taking his word for it in the game. All right. You hold on. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Denise. She's from Pomona.
Okay. Hi,
Emphasis
Denise.
Emphasis on the moan.
Are you ready for your K-Rock Weenie Roast band?
Yes.
All right. Here you go.
Smush nash done that stiff.
One more time.
Smush nash done that stiff.
What would that be?
Thanagram?
Fits and the Tantrums.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Next up is Marissa. She's from Simi Valley.
Hey, Marissa.
Hello. Hi, I've got the first three. I hope this one's easy.
Oh, wow. You just cursed yourself. Way to go.
Right. Yeah, good job.
Here you go.
The Herbie and Nub.
One more time.
The Herbie and Nub.
I'm going to say Bleachers.
The Neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Sorry. This game is not very easy.
It's the hardest game in the world!
noticing.
Ken from Torrance, you're up next.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, what's up, party people?
You know, giving away Weird Heroes tickets. So far, just Matt is in the drawing. We're trying to give away Weird Heroes tickets, but nobody seems to want them.
Oh, I'm getting those tickets.
All right, here you go. Backwards twice.
Oh, beef, but hurt itself.
One more time.
Oh, beef, but hurt itself.
That's obviously Avicii.
We already had Avicii.
Foster the people.
And this one's like 10 more syllables. How is it obviously Avicii?
Well, I thought it was.
Okay. All right. He was serious. I thought he was kidding.
This game sure isn't easy, you guys.
Wow.
It's the hardest game. Dave from Anaheim.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Not well.
Not so good.
But it is the hardest game in the world. So here you go. Twice backwards.
Margus Neff.
One more time.
Margus Neff.
Man. Well, since I don't know, I'm just going to say Bastille. Ugh. Fantagram.
Yeah. Same damn thing, forwards and backwards.
Now, it should be theoretically getting easier for the contestants as more and more names have already been used. There's only a few left, right? So you're really choosing from a very small pool of bands whose names you have not yet heard.
In theory, you're right. But in practice, there's dumbass.
Yeah. All right. Well. Who's our next dumbass, Mr. Announcer Man?
Andrea from Southgate.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Hardest game in the world. You ready?
Yes.
Please,
One more time.
Pizza.
Oh my god.
It's not an easy game.
American Office?
Bastille.
Yeah.
A lot of syllables.
Alright. How about one more contestant, you guys?
I have faith in Ryan from Upland.
If Ryan doesn't get it, we automatically have a winner, correct? Yep.
Correct.
All right. Ryan, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we're doing well. We were hoping to give away some more qualifications for the Weenie Roast, but here we go. This is your band twice backwards.
See this? Hold it back.
One more time.
See this? Hold it back.
Capital Cities?
Ryan!
Capital Cities.
Look at that.
Well done, Ryan.
So Ryan's in the drawing, Matt's in the drawing, Lisa, only
two
one
men enter, one man leaves.
Only one can win tickets for May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater for K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. It is sold out. Who's our winner?
Sorry, I tried to...
There's Lisa, really there's two pieces of paper.
There's only two of them.
But you got to mix them up. So
pick
you don't
one.
Know
how can you mix up two
second.
Pieces of paper? How long does that take?
Ryan, the last guy we talked to.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks
Ryan.
A lot, guys.
That was a difficult game.
It was the hardest game in the world.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
It is Monday. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is going on?
Well, first, let's talk about Saturday, May the 17th. That's when the next K-Rock Microbrew Preakness Party is happening. It's at Santa Anita Park, as always. It's going to be a fun event. If you'd like to go, I've got a VIP package right now for one lucky winner. The VIP package is you get to hang with Stryker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, and Beer Mug.
Yeah!
Woo!
Can they choose? Like, can they go not Beer Mug?
Sure, you can stay away from Beer Mug. We all do. You get free admission for four, backstage access, four drink tickets, and $106 to bet on the ponies. This is quite the package. The event happens all day long on Saturday. The gates open at 10 a.m. You got to be 21 years of older if you want to hang out and drink and gamble. But it's always a good time. So if you'd like to go to the K-Rock Microbrew Fest at Santa Anita, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Since it's the 17th of May, the date this Saturday, why don't you be caller number 17? How about that?
I need somebody that wants to eat grass. Who wants to eat grass?
I don't know if Lightning will be attending.
Oh, all right.
It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do each and every Monday morning. Neighbors, in its debut with $51.1 million, knocked The Amazing Spider-Man out of the top slot. Spidey just made $32.2 million, still pretty strong.
That's a lot for an R-rated movie, isn't it? 51?
Neighbors did better. Yeah, did very well. The Other Woman, Heaven is for Real, Captain America the Winter Soldier were your top five movies. Then Rio 2, Mom's Night Out, Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, the animated film. Did just $3.7 million in its debut, but that was good enough to make it number 8. Divergent and Brick Mansions were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. now that Stephen Colbert is leaving Comedy Central for his own late-night show at CBS. What will happen to that big gaping hole that housed the Colbert Report after The Daily Show? Well, oh. Hollywood Reporter has announced that Comedy Central has picked the successor for that time slot. None other than Larry Wilmore from The Daily Show. He is very funny on that show.
Which one is he?
He is the African-American gentleman.
Ah. He's the senior black correspondent, yes, Kevin.
He is funny.
Yes, he's very funny.
I like him.
He's been the senior black correspondent since 2006. He'll be relocating to New York City to do his new show, which will be called The Minority Report with Larry Wilmore. I love the city of New York, said Larry, and I promise only to wear my Laker t-shirts when I'm layering. So he's going to wear those deep under his sweater, I guess. When he's
he needs to get
here.
Donald Sterling on as a first guest.
He should.
That'd be the way to debut that show, wouldn't it?
Let him apologize to him.
Right?
Most experts were positive, and I was one of them, that Britney Spears was going to fail big time in Las Vegas, but we were all wrong. The show, despite what many critics and audience members have said about the show itself, is doing very well.
Is that right?
So much so that, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, she has been offered an additional $12 million to extend her run at Planet Hollywood for 2 more years. Her original $30 million deal expires at the end of 2015. If she signs the new deal, Britney will be in Vegas until Christmas of 2016, giving lots of people a chance to go and watch her sluggishly stumble around the stage while she lip-syncs to her greatest hits.
There was a time a few years ago, though, that we would not have believed that in 2014 and now 15 and 16, she would still be pulling down $10, $12 million a year singing. Didn't look like she was going to have that kind of longevity, but I guess people have some real affection for that music.
Well, here's what I've found to be the case in this modern, live on the razor's edge world that we live in, where everything is consumed so very quickly via so many different outlets.
Right.
Nostalgia happens a lot faster now than it
absolutely
used to. Used to be, for nostalgia to make an act viable again, about 20 years would have to go by. And everybody would say, oh, remember that band we liked back when we did that? And then they go, let's go see them again. And bands were able to have a second bite at the apple with their careers because they could go out on the tour circuit and make good money again. Now that we burn through material so quickly in terms of pop culture, nostalgia happens very quickly. And like 5 years later, like, oh, remember that old band 5 years ago we were dancing to? Let's go see them again. That sounds like fun.
It's kind of like, you know, we talk so much about rebooting Spider-Man after 5 years. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, it seems like there's almost a complete turnover in our pop culture interest in that period of time.
Yeah. The new... it just wouldn't be a Britney story without that telltale laughter drop that the kids love so much.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm being facetious. This is all dripping with sarcasm, this whole comment thing here.
Look up facetious.
Hot punch, holy moly!
Hot punch, holy moly! What's going on? Hot punch, holy moly! I'm going to have some fun.
See, you weren't here Friday when Ralph decided this was going to be a thing.
My new catchphrase.
I sure wasn't.
Yeah. It's my new catchphrase. It's sweeping the nation.
Is it now?
Yes.
Define sweeping the nation.
I've received several emails of support.
Now, I understand, Ralph, that it turns out that it's from a popular Detroit children's television show. Is that right?
Well, apparently it was produced in Detroit, but I remember watching it as a kid in Philadelphia.
Okay. So it was something that that you saw as well.
That's something about that jingle and that segment of that show, which was called Hot Fudge. Lodged itself into my subconscious to the point where I would use that as an exclamation quite often throughout the entirety of my life. And I was using it on the show, and one of our listeners who's from Detroit said, I know where that's from. That's from that kid show. And he sent me the clip of the audio, and it struck me like a thunderbolt. I was like, oh, that's right. That's where I got that from. So now it's come full circle.
And that's just for like today, though, and then it peters out, right?
So now, from now until the end of time, my new catchphrase will be...
The end of time?
Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah! Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm gonna have some fun!
Excellent exclamation for surprising facts, including this
very
one.
Contemporary sounding.
Miley Cyrus playing a secret show Friday night at a gay nightclub in London. That surprised a lot of people. She jumped up on stage and told the crowd, everyone's a little gay. All it takes is one cocktail. And if that doesn't work, sprinkle something in their drink.
Okay.
Oh, Miley. Wow. Oh, Miley, with your date rape comedy. You're so entertaining and cutting edge. Then she took the stage with a giant inflatable penis. which she proceeded to simulate a number of sex acts on, and then did the same with a blow-up male sex doll. Oh, Miley. Miley, you cutting-edge artist, you. We tip our hat to you, Miley.
Do we?
No.
Do we have a hat?
Dumb whore. Dumb llama-faced whore. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ving Rhames is 55 years old today. Emilio Estevez turns 52. Tony Hawk, skateboard legend, 46 years old. At what point do you stop skateboarding for fear of breaking a hip?
I don't know, but he seems to still be able to do it.
Very talented guy. Yeah. I'm not saying this is the age.
I don't know what the age
is. I'm saying at 46, you got more skateboarding behind you than you do ahead of you.
Probably.
At what point do you say, now I'm going to hang up my deck, as the kids say?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Jason Biggs, he's 36 years old today. Malin Ackerman celebrates her 36th birthday as well. And Emily Van Camp turns 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Actress and comedian Mary Lynn Ryskup is Chloe on 24 Live Another Day. She joins us in about 30 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. And our friend Brandon Boyd in studio. Lisa, hands off. Remember, we have a no-touching policy when Brandon comes by.
Wait,
yes,
I don't think.
Okay. I thought we were going to play Lick Lisa next hour.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Lisa's interested in Lick Lisa.
About that.
Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show here for a Monday morning. Thanks so much for joining us. I was not here on Friday, Ralph, but it sounds like you brought up an interesting question that has touched a nerve with some listeners. Please explain, sir.
I did, and I have, some explaining to do, I think, regarding this, because I got some interesting feedback, both positive and negative. But I was simply covering a showbiz story that came from the National Enquirer, so take that with a grain of salt, saying that Neil Patrick Harris's longtime fiancé, David Burtka, is now telling him, marry me or set me free. That's the quote from the National Enquirer. Apparently, they claim there's been pressure from David on Neil to tie the knot, partially due to the fact that David is feeling a little insecure now that Neil is doing Hedwig and the Angry Inch on Broadway, because the audience that's coming to see that show is largely populated with gay men, and they are throwing themselves at Neil Patrick Harris because he is very sexual on stage. He's sexy, he's scantily clad, and that is creating a lot of interest in the guys who attend the show to throw themselves at Neil Patrick Harris. So when I was talking about this story, I brought up the question, and I wasn't taking a stand one way or the other. I literally had no information on this. I said, I wonder if it's harder to maintain fidelity in a gay relationship with two men than it is in a heterosexual relationship. Now, a lot of people thought by bringing up that question, I was saying in some way that heterosexuals have the monopoly on being able to be faithful, or that gay men were promiscuous, or that... Look, I'm not saying any of those things. I don't think heterosexual people are particularly good at remaining faithful to their partners. If you look at the evidence, the research, it shows you a large percentage of men in relationships stray, and a significant number of women do as well. So it's not like anybody's really good at this. My point was simply, because there's two men involved, and I am not a gay man, but I am a man, and I know the way men are. If there's two men involved, men have a certain attitude towards sexual activities.
Right.
Sometimes they are capable of separating that from their primary relationships or even their emotions. They may act out sexually for a number of reasons that have nothing to do with love or fidelity or commitment. If you have two men in a given relationship, does that create special challenges in terms of wanting to stay monogamous? That's the only thing I was bringing up, and I only brought it up because I had no idea whether that was the case or not. But I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, you know, as much as a gay marriage is in many ways the equal of a heterosexual marriage, men and women are not the same. And there are biologies involved. There are social mores involved. And there are a lot of other factors that would be involved in why somebody would cheat or not. So did you want to talk to anyone in particular about this?
I thought it would be interesting to open up the phones to our gay listeners and say, are there unique challenges in a gay relationship regarding monogamy and fidelity? Because you do have two men who are men in the relationship, and they may be wanting to act out sexually in a way that differs from straight or heterosexual relationships. And some of the emails I got, again, people were very upset with me for posing that question, but I did get a lot of emails from our gay listeners who said, yeah, it is different. We are perhaps more forgiving to dalliances outside of the relationship. Sometimes there's understandings made about what's acceptable behavior with people outside the relationship
and
what's
that's
not.
Okay and whatever.
And that's okay. They make certain allowances that it is different, and men can be horn dogs sometimes, and that is that is taken into account, and sometimes in gay relationships.
Well, I understand on Friday that after you brought this up on the air, that one of the first emails that came in was from Kevin Bean listener Mark, who has a lot of experience on this topic because he has been a longtime partner with a woman as well as with a man, if right. I'm reading his email correctly. And Mark joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on the phone right now. Hi, Mark. Thanks a lot for being on with us, man. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good, good. Mark.
You're listening to Ralph on Friday, and what struck you about what he was saying?
Well, I think he was pretty accurate, at least from my experience, that guys are guys, basically, and what we do, or at least we're motivated frequently by sex, and we can separate sex from emotions. So if you're in a relationship with another guy, you kind of have an understanding, or at least you can develop an understanding that says, hey, if you do a little of this or you do a little of that, I understand relationship or the importance of what we bring to the table from a love standpoint. It's just sex.
How long were you married to a woman, Mark?
I was married to her for almost 20 years.
20 years.
There you go.
And how was she? I mean, what was your understanding with her in terms of faithfulness?
Oh, I was completely faithful, 100%. That was our relationship, at least until the end. And that was when I strayed, and that was the end of the relationship. But I never would have expected her to have an understanding of the way that guys think. I mean, basically, the way guys think is it's just sex, and there's no big deal.
She would have been an awesome wife if she would have gotten that, though, wouldn't she?
And look, some women do, but I think for the most part what Mark is saying is true, that women tend to attach more emotion to sex, and so because of that, it's much more complicated to go off and have a purely sexual experience, whereas with guys it seems to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
right, right.
I think society expects that women are not going to have... It almost expects that women are not going to enjoy sex, and so we have this whole expectation.
That's certainly the case in my house.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's Bean's expectation.
The reason you get married is because you're going to have this stable relationship, and sex happens to be a part of it because you're going to have kids. But with guys, it's really not necessarily that. And so I think marriage is vital. I think marriage is wonderful to have, but I think you can set your own parameters and define it, and guys have more breadth in doing that, I think, because we're gay and we understand that.
Well, this is a whole other issue, but women also have the societal pressure of being either a Madonna or a whore. You know, either you're virginal and you're monogamous, or you're a whore and you sleep around and you're shamed for that. Men don't seem to have that stigma to battle. If you're out there banging a lot of people, you're considered a player and a stud and all these things. So I just think their social expectations are different, too, in different
unfairly, too, by the way.
Absolutely unfair.
Completely unfair on the women. Let me ask you this, Mark, and we're going to take some other calls, too, on this topic from our gay listeners at 1-800-520-1067. What's the longest relationship you've had with a man?
4 years.
And was the relationship ever at a point or serious enough where you guys had the talk where you said, okay, now it's exclusive? Now there is no more fooling around on the outside?
Oh, that's an interesting question. We've developed an understanding, I'll put it that way.
So you can have sexual experiences with other people outside the relationship? Up to a point, you've got some sort of negotiated agreement.
Well, there's the first question of whether it's just the two of us and someone else, and then there's the second question of whether either of us could do something without the other.
Oh, I see. So you may bring other people into your relationship.
You know, marriage is a broad thing, and relationships you need to be adaptive and understand that.
Hey, whatever works for you guys. I mean, you know, there's no fixed answer here.
No.
So
go with the wobbly H, son. So, go with our blessings.
And you've got Ralph's email if you need them. All right, Mark. Thanks so much for listening and for weighing in on this. We really appreciate
thanks,
it. All right,
Mark.
Sir?
Yeah, it was fun chatting with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, let's talk to Damon real quick. He's on line 3. Again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Damon is a sex therapist, Ralph, and he specializes in gay relationships. So I imagine this is a topic that has come up many times on the couch in his office.
So you're going to kill this whole segment with facts, Dean? Nice work.
Damon, what are your impressions as you hear this conversation unfold this morning?
I think it's great. I love that you guys actually brought it up. And it goes to show you that people get very, very sensitive about sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Especially, you know, gay and straight. Gay guys are like, don't generalize us. And straight people, you know, actually stray quite a bit themselves. As a sex therapist, I see it all. So I see the straight individuals have probably more drama than the gay relationships because they don't have that open sexual communication that most gay men really do.
So back to the original question. The question was, is it harder for gay men? Do you think it is or it's easier because they can understand sex?
I would say it is much easier for gay men because once they get into a relationship, I mean, how often does a heterosexual relationship on first date ask, how do you feel about monogamy? It's already an implied there will only be monogamy.
Right.
But with a gay relationship, that topic can come up very, very early in the relationship with understanding, with arrangements, with agreements, either bring in a guest player or go don't ask, don't tell. There's a myriad of different reasons. I actually teach a polyamory class, and it's very common. So
guys,
I don't know a lot of long-term gay relationships that are 100% closed.
Damon, do you think because it's men involved in a gay relationship, that makes it inherently different than an opposite-sex relationship? Is it purely because of the gender?
Yeah, absolutely. Gay men, as you said, gay men are men. They have an understanding. They all have this is how it's going to work. They have kind of a built-in, it can be just sex.
Mm-hmm.
But again, keep in mind this is a generalization.
Sure.
I don't want any hate mail from the three gay guys that are totally monogamous.
I'll send you some of mine, baby.
Okay.
Ralph's got you covered.
And with that in mind, do you find that lesbian relationships are inherently more fidelity-based because it's two women involved?
Again, to avoid hate mail,
right,
death threats, and all that,
generalization.
I will not speak upon the lesbian persuasion.
Okay.
They have their own world and own set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And as a gay man, yes, I have a lot of experience in that realm, but it's not something that I would venture to really comment on.
Because they scare you.
Damon is afraid of lesbians.
It's a little terrifying. Yeah.
But we can all agree.
Damon.
We can all agree the Indigo Girls are terrible, right?
Yeah. Well, where did they go anyway? How long did they
exactly?
Where
all
did
right,
they go?
Damon. Fascinating to hear your perspective as a professional and a gay man as well. Thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate
so
it.
Much.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. This is a great topic. We do have a couple of other opinions here, Ralph. We're going to take a quick break and come back, take some more calls next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thanks for tuning in. We're in the middle of a very interesting conversation. Ralph posed a question on Friday asking, is it tougher for gay men in a relationship to remain monogamous? That's a fair way to summarize it, wouldn't you say, Ralph?
I think so. I don't think we've really touched really on that particular part of the subject yet, because we've talked to some gay men who say, yes, it's more common for gay men to have open relationships and involve other sexual experiences in their relationships. But I'm curious still, if one part of that relationship wants monogamy, is it hard for the other half of that relationship who may not be as inclined to be monogamous? Is it difficult for them to maintain that monogamy because of the sexualized nature of the gay community? Because everyone is sort of in open relationships and they're having more and different kinds of sex, is it more challenging? And it all sparked from this Neil Patrick Harris story regarding him and his longtime fiance. And according to the story, his fiance is sort of demanding marriage. Now, there's a gay ultimatum on the table, a marriage ultimatum on the table because of all the attention that Neil is getting from all these gay men.
Here's what I know. You do want to start off your marriage with an ultimatum.
Oh, that always works. It's always
that's
a strong
the move. Best way to do it.
Yeah. And again, I'll also inquire the story, so it may be total BS, but it's just a jumping off point for this conversation.
And I'd also like to add, by the way, to Neil Patrick Harris's fiance, get in line. We all want to marry Neil Patrick Harris, all right? Wait your turn.
Ain't that the truth?
Let's
give him
Jed.
The angry inch, you know what I'm saying?
Jed is on line one, Ralph. He may be who you're looking for. He is in a long-term monogamous gay relationship. Let's see how that is working for him. He's on line one. Hello, Jed. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hey, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and of course Lisa.
Hi, hey, Jed. So what's going on with you and your partner?
Me and my partner, Richard, have been together for over 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're not an ugly couple. We both do CrossFit and do I work in.
By the way, you're gay. It goes without saying you do CrossFit. You don't even have to mention that.
We already know you're in better shape and more attractive than we are.
And a better dancer. We got that.
Yeah.
But there's a definite, like,
there's a definite curiosity, but we've always maintained the monogamy. It's just easier that way. We both tend to be a little bit more jealous if something else were to happen. I think it just makes it easier for us to keep it simple and not do the exploration of other people and things like that, as to not confuse the relationship. And we both come from families that had parents that stayed together, and we both come from big families, so maybe part of it.
All right, I understand the reasons that you're giving, and it sounds like it's working for you guys, but is it difficult? Is it frustrating?
And I'll
go ahead and say it. Is it hard?
Is it hard? Definitely. No. It does. It does get hard, and it does get difficult. But the thing is that open relationship of being able to look at people and go, wow, that person's very attractive, but at the same time realize that we have our own life we want to build together. And in the realms of it all, it's a one-time thing worth the 5.5 years or more that we want.
And sure.
We kind of look at that long time. I know it's boring, but we look at that long time goal of being old, two old dudes hanging out and, you know, enjoying life and laughing at things.
Yeah, I think those are the same challenges in any relationship, being heterosexual or gay. But I was just wondering, because the gay community tends to be very sexualized and more open about it, more honest about it, are the challenges more than perhaps a heterosexual couple might face?
That's
because
good,
heterosexual
yeah.
couples, you know, at least everyone lies to each other when you go out with other couples and say, oh, yes, we're very happy and we're very monogamous. But gay couples are out there saying, yeah, we're doing all this kind of great stuff and you guys choose not to.
Yeah, no, it is harder because we have friends that are in those open type of relationships. So I do know people that they've made their relationship last because they have the extra visitor that comes and hangs out or whatever it is.
Right.
But I don't know. We're just trying it different. It's hard.
Gotcha. Whatever works for you. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. And thanks so much for listening, Jed. We appreciate it. We're going to have to leave it there for right now. So, I mean, really, whatever works for you as a couple, and talk about it, right? Be on the same page. I mean, I guess that's all you can do.
That's true in any relationship, but it seems like gay guys, it's just tougher too because they're just so damn good looking.
Next week at Royce Hall on UCLA campus, we're going to see Coldplay. K-Rock bringing the band to town for a big show that night. You can go to K-Rock.com for all the details, or you can win your way in several times a day here on K-Rock, including 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock at night. It's Coldplay in concert at UCLA. 24 is back, you guys. 24 Live Another Day returned last Monday night after 4 years off the schedule on Fox. We're so excited to welcome Jack Bauer back, and of course, even more excited to welcome the beautiful Chloe O'Brien back. Actress, comedian Mary Lynn Ricegub joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show live from London. Hi, Mary Lynn. How are you?
Hey, everybody. So good. How are you?
We miss you. Do you miss America?
I do miss America. Please don't rub it in.
I was just thinking how weird that must be for all of you guys on this show. And you got a lot of cast and a lot of crew to go over there. And basically now you're living in England. I mean, it's kind of a weird way to go.
Yeah, it's really strange because the amount of time is long enough that you've moved here, but you haven't really moved here. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been riding the tube a lot. I'm different, you guys. I say tube.
The tube.
Nice.
Riding the bus. I'm walking the streets right now. We have a patch of sunshine because it's been cold and rainy, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think summer is today in London, right? I mean, this is it.
Summer is today for about an hour and a half, and then it'll be over.
So you have to bring us back, since we haven't talked to you in a while, and it's great to have you on the phone again, for reals. Were you, like so many other people that seem like worked on the show, kind of okay with 24 going away when it finally left the air? Like, you guys were exhausted, and you'd been doing it for a long time, and you were kind of happy to have it go away, but then you were equally delighted when it came back?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's exactly right. We had a great run of it, you know, which is in this crazy business. It's more than you ever get to be on a great show with a great crew with a great response, you know, and a nice long run is very unusual and special. So we were all ready to let it go. And I never expected that it would come back. I mean, this is just nuts. Not only did it come back, but it's, you know, we're in London. I have a crazy new look. And
yes, you do. It's emo,
and, you know,
Chloe.
People are, it's like people on my Twitter feed, it's been a lot of fun because it's, I always got, people will talk to me every day as if the show never left. And now that it's back, it's just been so much fun talking to people about it.
Look, you've been an actress for a long time. You've played lots of different roles. But how weird is it to be emo Chloe? I mean, is that a role that you feel comfortable with? Or you just feel ridiculous when you put on the eyeliner because it's so not you?
What are you trying to say?
Oh, no, I think you pull it off fine.
I like how you're like, look, I'm going to level with you. Your eyeliner is ridiculous, lady.
It's not you. Look, this isn't you. You're about as far away from emo Chloe as a person can be, yet you still are playing her fine on the TV, but I'm just asking, how crazy does it feel to you to be this character?
You can influence me very well, and I'm very fragile. Now, if you keep saying that, I'm going to go to the set and be like, guys, this just isn't me.
No. I don't want to be responsible for ruining the show.
I mean, I feel like I'm being the goth punk rocker girl with a dragon tattoo that I never got to be when I was, 17. So why not? Let's do it now.
Sure. Last Monday, ahead of the premiere
let me give you a serious answer to that.
Okay. I thought that was it, but go ahead. Yeah.
That was very cheeky. You know, that's what we say over here. That was a very cheeky answer. But, it is. It's a cool challenge to have the show come back and be able to play that other level of that character is pretty exciting.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Last Monday, ahead of the return of 24 Live Another Day, and if you're just joining us, we have actress Mary Lynn Rice-Cubb on the phone with us right now. She is Chloe. We had in your friends Manny and Evan, who produce and write the show, and they told us that you in real life are the most computer illiterate person they've ever met.
They just threw me under the bus.
They sort of did, yeah. They sort of said, you don't know anything about computers.
It's pretty bad.
And that's why it's awesome casting that you are the best computer person in the world on 24.
In a way, it has I start to believe like I might be an okay actor because I missed the boat on computers completely. I actually missed the boat on Facebook. I'm decent on Twitter, but I know people that live by Facebook, and I can't stand it. I like a paper book,
Right.
I want to take a hammer to the computer. That would be my solution to try to fix something. I just have no clue. I'm a person that throws up their hands and calls that, the Geek Squad, and they charge me $250 to be like, can we turn off your router and turn it back on? There it works. And I'm like, here you go.
And in the show, you can do anything on a computer in 4 seconds or less.
Yeah, anything. I feel pretty powerful pretending to do that.
Sure.
I mean, last week, spoiler alert, but last week, Chloe pulls up out the side of an apartment building and manages to hack into and start turning on and off security cameras from a van on the street in literally 30 seconds. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
It gets me really excited just thinking about it. so many traffic cams, so much facial recognition software.
I would like to tell you a quick off-the-air story from the guys that were here last week. One of them just joined Twitter. It was his very first day a week ago. And he was trying to tweet from our show. And he said, hey, I'm trying to hit this tweet, but it won't send. Why not? And I went over and looked at his phone, and it in red said -168. And I said, yeah, that's the thing about Twitter. You have to make it in 140 characters. So he had 140 plus 168.
Yeah, I think he missed the concept of what Twitter's all about. Okay.
Are you trying to make me feel better?
Yes,
thank
a little
you.
Bit, yes.
They also told us that they were still writing the end of this season. So do you even know where this all goes, Mary Lynn?
I was going to ask you if you got any hints from them. I mean,
no.
Also, they're not even here. They're in America, so it's like, I still don't know. We're shooting episodes 9 and 10 right now, and it really could go any number of ways. I don't know.
Do you think they have an idea, or have you learned throughout the years that they're just making it up as they go as well?
Well, I think it's a good mixture of both. I think they have the broad strokes of it. I think they know kind of where they want to hit, but it's really interesting, even when you see the rewrites of the script, to see pieces in place and to see the characters' attitudes change within that.
Right.
If that makes sense, because sometimes it's like, oh, that character wouldn't be that evil. Like, let's put, but they know they want to go in that direction. But then they kind of put the
different shades of that in there. Gotcha. Having said that, I'm pretty sure right now there's probably three or four different endings that they're deciding on.
24 Live Another Day is sort of airing concurrently in Britain. Like, the premiere has already played there as well, right?
Yeah, I think that was a really smart idea on their part. It's on tonight as well. And so, I'm gonna be watching here. It's about 4 p.m. here, so I'll watch that tonight. What was I going to say? Oh, that they originally said they were going to wrap up the whole franchise in this 12.
Right.
Which to me, I mean, I'm no business person. I'm the artist. But if you're going to go through the trouble to bring it back, and it's doing really well.
Yeah,
bring it back. Absolutely.
Wouldn't you do a few more of those 12s now that you've settled on this? So I don't know. Did the guys tell you anything about that?
Nope.
I'm just going to call you and be like, have you talked to Manny and Evan? Tell me. What did they say?
The show 24 Live Another Day returns tonight on Fox at 9 o'clock. You can still catch up on demand with last week's premiere, and you should because it's awesome. What do you miss most about America, Marilyn? What are you most looking forward to when you get home?
Driving my car, enjoying the California sunshine.
Yeah.
People are very, yeah, it's good. California's a good place. I love London, though.
And Kevin and Bean. Don't forget Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, I can't do it without you.
Okay.
That's all we wanted to hear. There you go.
Half-hearted at best.
9 o'clock tonight on Fox 24, Live Another Day. Always great to have you. Thank you so much for being part of bringing the show back. We love Emo Chloe. We love you. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Oh, yeah. I want to come in when I get back in town, okay?
Please do.
Deal. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 7:54.
Meaty. Meaty indeed. Hey, Brandon Boyd joins us next hour, speaking of meaty. Mm. Also, Matt Money Smith talks all things sports. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, May the 17th, boxing returns to the Fabulous Forum.
Yay!
This time it's Marquez versus Alvarado.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang,
that's what it's going to look like.
Bang,
a lot of that,
bang.
A lot of that. Give him one of these, give him one of those, give him the business. This is going to be a great fight. And it's great to watch boxing return to the Forum, by the way. If you've never seen a fight at the Forum, it's a good time. Great seating, great sight lines. Good place to see some pugilism. That's boxing, Kevin.
Oh.
Check it out at Ticketmaster.com or how about a pair of tickets? I'll give away right now. A pair of tickets to see Marquez versus Alvarado at the Fabulous Forum on May the 17th. That's this Saturday, I want to say.
That is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's correct.
Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Since it's the 17th, how about caller number 17? We're win a pair of tickets to see Marquez versus Alvarado at the Forum.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang.
You want some?
Try and stop it.
Try and stop
bang,
it. Bang.
Bang.
Try and stop it.
Here I come.
Oh.
Bang. Do you want to throw sometime?
Yeah.
Bang. Bang.
Yeah.
Bang. 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 Bang.
That was real.
That Jim Lampley is a tough guy. All those punches he was throwing. Oh, wait.
No,
a minute.
He was just announcing.
He was just saying bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. It was odd.
It's like a kid playing cowboy in the backyard. Bang, bang, bang. Doesn't really have a gun. Just making the sound. It's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Neighbors, in its debut, did very well. $51.1 million.
That was damn funny.
There you go.
Put it on the poster.
From Mouth of Kevin. Spider-Man 2, $37.2 million. Made it number two. The Other Woman, Heaven is for Real, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Rio 2 was sixth, then Mom's Night Out in its debut made $4.2 million. I found out not only is this a comedy about moms who want to go out for the night and leave their kids behind with the hapless fathers, but it's one of those Christian films. It's a Christian comedy.
Oh, is that right?
For moms, yeah.
Okay.
I guess they were expecting to tap into the Heaven is for Real audience, but people weren't so interested.
Hmm.
Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, the animated film, was $3.7 million this weekend at number 8. Divergent and Brick Mansions were your top 10. Kanye West went out of his way to show that he's better than you again this weekend. Kim Kardashian woke up to her first Mother's Day morning with an entire outdoor wall of pink, green, and white roses and flowers.
What the hell are green roses?
I guess some roses were sprayed green.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
I've never heard of it either. The garden wall included roses, hydrangeas, peonies, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
an entire wall of flowers. This, of course, because Kanye had to outdo his Valentine's Day present for his soon-to-be wife, Kim Kardashian, when he gave her 1,000 red roses for Valentine's Day.
Right.
Good Lord.
Because he's better than you. He's a creative genius. Is what
he is.
He can call up a florist and say, give me 1,000 roses. He's a creative genius.
No, but no. then he stood that on its head by saying, you know what? Let's make a wall.
Give me a wall of flowers. Here's the beautiful thing about that. This is the first two holidays. There's going to reach a point of saturation. There will be maximum density for
That's
his
right.
gift giving where he won't be able to top himself, and then he's going to go nuts. He's going to flip out because he can't do anything bigger. The first Mother's Day, you got a wall of flowers. What do you got? And then a building of flowers? What? Then a city of flowers? How do you keep going?
Yeah, you got to pace yourself. You got to start out very slow and just give her dirt the first year. So you've got somewhere to go.
Then a seed. Then you put the seed in the dirt. Third year, some water.
Good tips here, I think.
I think so, too.
All good advice.
Congratulations to John Hamm, who was given his own wax statue unveiled in Madame Tussauds in New York City last week. John was on hail for the unveiling and took a selfie of himself with the life-size wax figure.
Yeah! That's hot!
Kevin loves the wax museums.
Yes, I do.
John hilariously said, a lot of people would say this describes my acting on Mad Men. A lot of waxy stares and a lot of silent brooding. But, oh, did you see it last night?
Oh, I did.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
No. It's so
No. La, 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 la.
It is in... We're into the stratosphere now with
holy
Mad Men.
Holy moly.
It's a whole nother level. Hot fudge, holy moly.
That's right.
Hot fudge, holy moly. What's going on?
Now, I was
Lisa,
out.
Have you been cleared for holy moly?
I've said holy moly
that
a lot. I don't do the hot fudge.
I gave her a franchise.
You did?
Okay. Ralph, I was out on Friday. What was it like having John Flattery, who plays Roger Sterling on Mad Men, in the Kevin and Bean studios?
Ask Lisa. Ask Lisa about her new boyfriend.
Super dreamy. Tussled in this, like, really sexy way. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Ralph felt
he's
the exact same way, Bean.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I loved him.
Yeah. Ralph, he's a good-looking man.
Ralph was moist.
And we had a great conversation, and his new movie is great, by the way. God's Pocket. I saw it last week, and it was great on every level.
I was very sad to miss that. And I'm sure Kevin had a lot of good questions about Mad Men, because he did see that first half of the first episode.
Kevin was oddly silent when he came to the conversation. I was surprised. I thought
I would think he had a lot to weigh in with.
He'd jump in with more. Yeah, it was strange. But I did get him to admit that John Hamm's just a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I did get him to admit that.
That's true.
There's only two episodes left of Mad Men, right? That's ridiculous.
This year,
yeah, until it comes back next year.
And then there's eight more, like 7 years from now or something.
Next year there will be eight more.
Isn't that BS, though, Ralph? Shouldn't they have just played the final season this year and just one right after and they'll just be done with it?
They're just...
Why make us wait?
They're just crippling me right in the gonads. It's just... I'm just dying.
Would you put it in...
It's just ramping up to such a fever pitch, too.
Would you put it in the top 10 of all TV shows in the history of the medium?
Easily. For me,
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Yeah. And before I leave you, I do want to talk about... A show in Turkey that I wish our dating shows were more like this one.
Okay.
This was a TV show in Turkey, a dating show, a la The Bachelor, Bachelorette, one kind of things. And I know Chris Harrison listens from time to time. Chris, take note. Let's put this into the mix over there on Bachelor. A man in Turkey revealed on a dating show that he had murdered both his ex-wife and his former lover.
Yay! Whoa!
Yeah.
For reals?
Uh-huh.
Whoa!
He had already served time for both murders. He had been released under an amnesty program. His late wife, by the way, was also his cousin. And he admitted to murdering her out of jealousy. But he went on to tell his date on the show that he murdered his lover. That was an accident when he swung an axe in her direction. Didn't really mean to kill her.
Did you say this is a dating show?
It's called Luck of the Draw.
So the guy brought this up on a date.
Yes. Because he wanted her to know. And I quote, I will never kill another partner. Well, that's comforting.
Well, it sounds like he's now a good catch.
Women would leave me after I told them that I murdered my previous wives. But I spent 14 years in jail. I have changed. And ladies, he's single.
Are there no men that haven't killed the partner yet?
Look, if you're the producer of Luck of the Draw and this guy comes into the audition room, you're like, hell yeah, you're going on the show.
Absolutely.
Let's roll the cameras while you tell some girl you offed two of your exes.
So, Kevin, so you're suggesting that there's no way he can be a good catch just because he's previously killed a couple of people.
Yes.
He's done his time,
you think
time,
he's ruined
Kevin.
For life.
He's done yes. his time.
He's done his time.
Here's
he's
what I
rehabilitated.
Man. Here's what I really think,
he's
though.
Not running. He's not hiding from it.
As well, if you are trying to be successful at dating, perhaps you want to hide certain portions of yourself.
But if you do hide that, and then it comes out, and then she finds out about your past, then what, Kevin?
Yeah. What do you build the foundation of your relationship from minute one is a lie that if you don't bring it up.
Come on, Kevin.
You're ending it by saying I killed both of them. You're ending
so he
that.
Should so he should never be allowed to love again.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying, B.
Okay.
Should,
all right, fair
should,
enough.
He should meet a woman. He should say, look, I killed two of my exes, but hot fudge, holy moly.
That's what it's missing.
Yeah, you're right. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ving Rhames is 55, Emilio Estevez is 52, Tony Hawk 46 years old, Jason Biggs and Malin Ackerman both celebrate their 36th birthdays, and Emily Van Camp is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Brandon Boyd joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a unique opportunity to see him doing something live you have never seen him do before. It's very exciting. We'll tell you all about it coming up. First, though, so much in the world of sports happening over the weekend. We want to catch up with our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, guys?
Well, we just are going to have to just burn on through this because we got so much. Let's talk about the draft first, the NFL draft, which riveted the nation over the weekend. I know you were covering every last minute of it. We were just discussing before we went to you on the phone. When Michael Sam is drafted 249th, isn't that sort of like not being drafted at all?
Well, you could make the case it's worse than not being drafted at all. I'm not kidding, because when, you know, now you're stuck with the Rams. Not that there's anything wrong with being stuck with the Rams, but you go through rookie camp, you go through training camp, and you just cross your fingers that that's the right fit. And Michael Sam, not to get too technical here, but, you know, he's a pass-rushing defensive end, probably too slow to play linebacker. The strength of the Rams is their pass-rushing defensive ends.
Oh.
So, you know, if you don't get drafted, if the next 10 picks go by, he gets to pick his destination. And his agent can say, oh, look, here's the fill-in-the-blank. Minnesota Vikings, they could use a pass-rushing specialist.
Uh-huh.
We're sending you there. As an undrafted free agent, you'll basically make about the same amount of money.
And I kind of – the impression I got, and I know the NFL breathed a huge sigh of relief for folks who don't recognize the name, Michael Sam is the first openly gay player to be drafted in the NFL. And I'm sure the NFL breathed a sigh of relief when his name was called, because they would have faced a potential embarrassment, you know, from a public relations standpoint. If he had not been drafted, people would accuse all the teams of being homophobic. But I just wondered if in that last 10 picks, if the commissioner was calling around all the teams going, seriously, somebody take this kid. Because I don't want to look bad.
Yeah, I mean, and they're in an area of what are called compensatory selections, which the NFL, the league awards to teams based on, and Josh, you just help me out here if this is too confusing. So you have free agents that go to other teams. If that happens the year prior, they award you draft picks to help make up for your free agent losses. So it was with one of those picks that the NFL gave the Rams that they used on Michael Sam. So certainly, yeah, if you want to play conspiracy theory, you could say yeah. Roger Goodell called Les Snead and said, hey, I gave you that pick. You're going to use it on my guy.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. And also, and I know we got to move on to a bunch of other stuff, I also know that these people still exist in the world in 2014, but it was horrifying to see some of the tweets that came out after that live shot of him kissing his boyfriend on TV. I mean, relax, people, relax.
He's going to come get him. You know, you watch him do that on that TV, he's going to come to their town. They're going to come get him.
It sounds like it. All right, let's turn our attention to the NBA. This Clippers-Thunders thing has turned into a series.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we talked about it before it started. I thought this was going to be a great series. I like the matchup for the Clippers. They're athletic. The Thunder are athletic. And certainly, you know, like we said, Kevin Durant is, you know, the one X factor. You can't stop him. You can try to figure out the best way to approach playing him, you know, on defense. And in the case of the game yesterday for the fourth quarter, it was, you over there, you seven-footer, check out this little six-footer I got right here. He's going to be checking you for this quarter. What do you make of that? And it worked out. You know, Chris Paul did a good job. He was able to kind of get into him a little bit low there, force him to try to post up instead of, you know, attacking off the dribble, and that's what was working for him for the first three quarters, and it worked. And you credit Chris and you credit Doc for trying to at least just change it up, even though it looked a bit ridiculous.
Has Blake Griffin played to your expectations in this series?
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. I mean, the foul You know, the fouls are tough, and fouls are always tough. And I remember when I was, you know, doing the Lakers stuff, people would always get upset and call, and the refs are against us. And I said, you know, it goes for every single game.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard for these referees to try to figure out what's the right balance. You know, I don't want Blake Griffin. They don't want Blake Griffin to have five fouls at the start of the fourth quarter. That is not what these officials are after. But sometimes when you're in the moment and you see that contact, it's just instinct, and they're going to blow the whistle. And I'll tell you, you know, there was that moment at about the, what was it, four-minute mark when he challenged Russell Westbrook at the rim, and it could have gone either way. And I thought it was a good no call, but, you know, when both guys are in the air, Russell Westbrook's 6 foot, Blake is, you know, 6'9" and much bigger, and that
right.
contact is made, it would not have been that far of a cry to blow the whistle there, and Blake goes to the bench, you know, with his sixth foul for the rest of the game.
Interesting.
The Clippers probably lose.
It seems like there is a foul on every single play.
There is. Yeah, there is.
So they just have to decide where they're going to draw the line?
Well, and that's why the whole cliche of, hey, just call the fouls. That's all I'm asking. Well, if you just called the fouls, they'd still be playing the game. You know, that there has to be some sort of, you know, give and take, and okay, this is what we're going to let go. And I think from the players and talking to them as many times as I have, they all tell you the same thing. They just want to know in the first 5 minutes of the game kind of what's going to be let go and what's
right.
going to be whistled, and then they'll adjust accordingly. And that's,
right.
you know, so when fouls are called late that hadn't been called all game or aren't called that had been called all game, that's when they get pissed off.
Yeah,
it's like in baseball. Look, we understand every umpire is different, but just show us where the strike zone
right.
is for you, and that's how we'll pitch,
exactly.
right?
And keep it the same all game.
Dave told us that he's never seen anyone get booed as much as Bieber at the game last night.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right, because Bieber, you know, he doesn't roll with any one team, and I guess in his defense, he's Canadian. He doesn't, you know, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, but he shows up and he acts like he's
yeah.
with them.
Yeah,
right.
He does.
He acts like he's part of the win. You know what I mean? Because he was there when the Clippers won.
Yeah, he's pretty annoying. I'm glad he got booed. I think he's used to it by now.
Sure.
And you know, he and Drake are going head to head for worst fan ever or
right.
biggest bandwagon fan ever.
But Bieber didn't bring a lint roller though, so we got to give the point to Bieber on that one. All right, moving on. Last point, Matt, and that is what happened to home ice advantage? Just doesn't exist in this freeway series, right?
You know what? And it really doesn't exist in hockey. You know, it's hot goalies. And man, I'll tell you, I tried to kind of warn everybody on you know, when we were doing the Petros and Money show there, when the Kings were up 2-0, I said, don't forget, they just came back from 0-3.
Yep.
So to assume the Ducks are just going to roll over, that's probably the best roster in all of hockey. Be foolish to think the Kings are going to get out of that, you know, at 4-0 or 3-1. It's going to be a long series. And this kid, John Gibson, man, their goalie is something. He's a kid. And, you know, I think we talked about it last week. I said, Bruce, you know, Boudreau does not adjust. That's always been the knock on their head coach, is he's terrible in series at making adjustments. And
right.
that's what plagued him in Washington. But you know what? I mean, big balls right there, going with a 21-year-old kid to put between the pipes. He's going to do it again today. And it worked. I mean, that kid is freaking good.
Once he gets, here's my hope as a Kings fan, once he gets scored on a couple of times, is he a little shaky because he's never been in that position?
Exactly. So good luck. You know, I mean, sure, if you can put a few past him, but nobody's done it yet. Granted, it's, you know,
he's had four games
of 6-7 games,
right.
but you
he's
know,
never lost.
And remember, this is the number one. It's not like this is a fluke. You know, this kid was considered the number one goalie prospect in the NHL. So it's not like they just stumbled upon something. Oh, this kid's playing pretty good that we kind of found under this rock. No, he was drafted high. He's
right.
been considered the great, you know, the great one and the goalie prospects for a couple of years now.
They didn't pull a guy in from the stands or something.
No.
I just, what I love, and we mentioned this earlier, Matt, what I love is that Timo Solani had already been in the league a year when this kid was born.
Isn't that unreal?
That's amazing
yeah.
to
yeah.
think that they're playing side by side for the Ducks right now.
Yeah.
Well, so that's game five of that series in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that is going to be tonight at Honda Center. Matt Money Smith, weekday afternoons with his friend Petros Papadakis on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Always great to have you on, man. Thanks for the time.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you.
Lisa, you were nervous, weren't you, doing the
I
traveling?
Was a little bit, because he's right here. He's right on my right side.
But now he's not going to like you anymore because you screwed up.
I didn't screw up.
Where did you screw up?
I
thought you did so well.
Thank you. I did perfectly.
I thought it was amazing.
Thank you, Brandon. Shut up.
Hi, Brandon Bean. Boyd. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Welcome in, my friend. Look, a couple weeks ago, Ralph Garman comes onto the show and he says, guys,
Jesus Christ Superstars is touring again, touring the country with an unusual cast. And we said, tell us more. Jesus Christ Superstar, of course, the famous play from 40 years ago that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice did. I mean, it's been playing continuously, but now there's a new production that's hitting the road. And we said, tell us about it. And he says, well, Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is in it. Johnny Rotten is playing King Herod in the thing. J.C. Chazé from NSYNC is Pontius Pilate. And Brandon Boyd is playing Judas Iscariot. And we said, we know that dude.
And we said, what?
And here he is. The most hated man in the history of the world, Judas, played by Brandon Boyd, joins us today.
That's exactly my reaction, too. When I got the call, I was like, what?
Isn't there another role for me? A better role?
I was so... like weirded out and thrilled at the same time.
Yeah. Way to betray Jesus, first of all. Nice work with
thank
that.
Thank you.
So, Brandon, we're going to have a lot of people listening who may have heard the name Jesus Christ Superstar, but it doesn't mean anything to them. But it is one of the most successful plays of all time, right?
It is indeed. Yeah, and it's actually, in a funny way, it's the only Andrew Lloyd Webber show I've ever seen. And I saw it when I was 16, I think, maybe earlier. But my parents were in musical theater when I was a kid.
Oh, is that right?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only one you've seen?
That was, but I'm very familiar with not only the music of that one, but Cats and Phantom of the Opera, and because my parents were obsessed with that stuff.
So they played it?
In the car.
Oh,
incessantly. And in the car and on the piano at home. And it was just like that was – Andrew Lloyd Webber was almost like this mythic figure in our house. So a couple of weeks ago in New York, a few weeks ago, when we were rehearsing for the press announcement, he would come up to the stage and give me little pointers and stuff. And I remember just being like, I'm trying so hard not to geek out on you right now.
That's difficult, isn't it, for somebody that you've respected for that long?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to, like, channel both my parents and, like, just jump onto him and, like, ride around the theater on his back for, you know.
I'm guessing that wouldn't have been his favorite thing.
Nah. No.
So, Brandon, forgive me if this is a dumb or insulting question, but can you act?
I don't know yet. I'm planning on finding out.
I mean, it's one thing to sing. You've got that. I have no doubts that'll be great. But you also have to act.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I'm kind of, I guess, relying on is the fact that when I sing, I kind of lose myself. And it happens pretty quickly. If I know the lyrics and I believe the lyrics, I just let go into that. And
you sort of disappear.
You disappear into it. And I think maybe that's what acting is. I'll find out. Maybe I'll get on stage and it'll just be awful, which would be amazing in its own way.
Well, no. Yeah, I guess. But not the way you want.
No, I know.
But I mean, this is a musical where everybody sings everything. There's very few actual spoken lines.
I don't think there are any.
There may not. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they were just notes that were trailing off. But the entire thing is sung.
I don't say this with great pride, but I don't know anything about Jesus Christ Superstar.
May I tell you
Please.
A couple of things? Okay. It's a version of the story of the last 7 days of Jesus' life, and it focuses heavily on the relationship between Judas and Jesus and as well Mary Magdalene. But it's a really interesting story. We've been fighting over it for a couple thousand years, obviously.
It's true. Why was Judas such a dick?
You know, I wasn't there.
Like, what's his motivation? Like, Jesus was a cool dude. Why turn on him? Why try to get him in trouble?
My sort of take on the story, and this is not my Sunday school take on the story. This is sort of my more modern take, is that these two were kind of like best friends. And
right.
They both had a mutual goal in mind to sort of bring up their community and rise above a lot of sort of things that were going on. And then I think Judas perhaps started to see things change. People get a little kooky around the idea of heaven and the afterlife and quite literally too much heaven on their minds. And then so he felt like he had to put a stop to it. He had to like put a stick in the spokes, and it kind of backfired on him. But what's so interesting is that he's widely known as the great traitor in history.
Right.
But I think it's so possible that he's maybe the most misunderstood person. We just sort of have accepted, oh, yeah, he's the traitor. He turned in Jesus. But there's so much more nuance there.
And the Bible is an incomplete story, too. It's not like there were a lot of texts alongside it to give context to some of the things in the Bible. So there's a lot we don't know, right?
I mean.
What happened to Judas after the crucifixion? Do we know that?
Just partied. he partied, you know, kind of burnt out along the way.
He's running a banana stand now.
Right. He may have started Birkenstock. No, he killed himself, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's what happened to Judas?
Yeah. That's what
Spoiler
say.
Alert?
Yeah.
Right. tell me about Ben Forster. He's the name I don't know in your cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. He's playing Christ.
Yes. He has been playing Jesus in the most recent UK and Australia tour, which is actually what this tour is modeled on. So it's a very different show. The music is all the same from the original, but the setting is very different. The costumes are very different. What's so interesting about it to me is that it is so perfect for the time that we're in right now, sort of culturally.
When did this first come out?
The original?
Yeah.
Came out, I think, in 1970.
70. So now this makes sense for 2014?
It really does, and it's almost strange how well the story fits in and the way that this story adapts to right now.
And what do you mean by that? What seems contemporary for you about this show?
The fact that it's a little bit like a majority versus the few, like a 99%. Opposing the 1%. That's kind of, or the hippies versus the corporations, or the apostles versus the Romans, that kind of a thing. It's like the same story. We only have a finite number of stories in human beings.
Yeah. So
it's really interesting.
Is this essentially the same show that played on Broadway throughout the 1970s, or does Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, do they kind of update the words and music along the way?
The words and music are the same. Albeit a little more snappy and like tight and punchy, because it's in arenas, so it's like the band
yeah.
is crazy good, and it's really like the one thing about the film and the original soundtrack was that it was kind of loose, you know. I don't know mm-hmm. if you guys remember, it's really kind of like loose around the edges, and it's cool for that reason. This is like a modern rock show.
Well, when you say you're playing arenas, listen to this. July 20th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Tickets are on sale Friday morning at 10 for that, and that is going to be through Ticketmaster.com. And then on Saturday, July 26th, you're going to be at Staples Center. Tickets on that are at AXS.com. Again, they both go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can see Brandon Boyd and the rest of the cast in Jesus Christ Superstar. Many more questions for Brandon when we return, rather, for this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jesus Christ Superstar is the name of the show, coming to Southern California for two nights in July. July 20th at the Honda Center and the 26th at Staples Center. Our friend Brandon Boyd is in studio with us right now. He plays Judas Iscariot in the show. Was it a tough decision, a tough question for you to say yes to, Brandon? Did you have reservations about taking on a show like this, or is it something that you just were super psyched to hear?
I was over the moon about the offer. I wanted to make sure that I was making the right decision before I said yes. So I asked them for, I think, about a week or 10 days. And I was in South America with Incubus when the call came. So I was wooed by the South Americans and the atmosphere. So it would have been really easy to be like, yes, yes, yes. So, you know, see. So I asked for a little bit of time, which they happily granted. And then the first thing I did was I asked the guys in Incubus. I was like, you guys, I got this really weird phone call. And I told them what it was. And they all were like, see, do it. Yes.
But I would think a guy like you with your various bands and your books and your art and all the other stuff, and just living life, having time to serve and stuff, I would think when you make a commitment like this, you know that you're giving up time that you could be using to do other things. So you have to choose wisely.
Yeah, that was the whole reason behind taking a moment. And I also wanted to make sure that it was that I'd be able to do it justice, you know, because I loved the show and I, like I said, I grew up on it. So
how do you answer that question for yourself? Can I do it justice?
Lock myself in a echoey bathroom and
just try it out.
Sing the songs?
Start singing Heaven on Their Minds and see if I got it. And I'm actually serious. Like I went and I threw a couple of like the bigger notes and I was like, maybe I can do this. Yes.
See.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ Superstar started in 1970 on stage, ran on Broadway for years and years and years. It was a big movie in 1973. Mm-hmm. The songs don't sound dated, though. That's what's interesting. I mean, that's what's beautiful about Andrew Lloyd Webber is you can't tell what decade his songs were written because they all seem so timeless.
Yeah, he's a unique cat. I think that there's a level of genius to what he does, actually. And part of it is that timelessness, but part of it, too, is like if you listen to Jesus Christ Superstar as a record, it is so weird, like wonderfully weird. It's really, really, like, it's almost psychedelic in a way. And obviously it came from an era of psychedelia. yeah, it's wonderful. I'm a proper fan of his work.
Do you know anything about what the staging is going to be like that they're going to do? I mean, since you're playing such large places, and are you going to be in the round?
I don't know if it's in the round. In fact, it probably is not, because a lot of it is it's a beautiful set, but most of it is on these giant screens too. So it's you're watching a live performance, but then there's cameras sort of hidden around the stage, and you see the performance projected on a giant screen. So it's like you're watching a live performance and a movie.
Oh, that's cool.
The same
you were saying during the song that you haven't rehearsed with the cast yet.
Right.
Is that a little scary?
No, not
really.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm tired of doing it alone.
In the bathroom.
Right. Raised eyebrows, as you can't see. And I can't wait to just jump in bed with everybody. It's going to be so much more fun when you have company.
Well, you're going to be on stage with the show in New Orleans in less than a month. You open on June 9th.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're allowing for all of about 10 days of rehearsal with everybody. But everyone's coming in. These are like crazy professionals. Like, everybody really knows what they're doing. And
that's your job, is to know 100% what you're doing before you even start rehearsing.
I guarantee by the time we get on stage in New Orleans, we're going to be like sick of practicing.
Are you scared?
No. At the moment, no.
Should you be? Are you ever scared, Brandon?
I do get scared. I do get nervous, actually. I've learned how to sort of filter those nerves into a joyful energy, though. I actually love to pursue things that give me that nervous energy, because I feel like that is me walking in the right direction.
But you being challenged.
Yeah. If you go, you're like, oh, I can do that. Cool. That's sort of like you can become very easily complacent that way. And so I love to sort of pursue things where I'm like, ooh, can I do that? I don't know. Let's try. And that makes us sort of, better.
Now,
artists.
You probably don't know the answer to this yet, because you haven't gotten to work with the props, but do you think there'll be real food for you to eat at the Last Supper?
It's a good
question.
I mean,
they got to put something up on stage, right?
Right, they do. I'm feeling it's probably going to be Kool-Aid and gluten-free.
I mean,
toast.
I assume that's dinner, right? Every night on stage is the Last Supper, I would think.
Right.
And it better be good.
It better be.
I'm not sure he's done any research into that.
I thought it might
maybe
be too early
to ask.
So let me give you the ticket information again for people who want to see this. Honda Center on July 20th. Tickets going on sale for that show through Ticketmaster.com this Friday at 10 a.m. And then the following weekend, Saturday, July 26th, you're going to be at Staples Center. Tickets can be purchased at AXS.com. And the thing is opening up on June 9th and is scheduled right now to run through the end, the middle of August, right? So
a couple
of months you're going to be out on the road.
That's right, yeah.
This is more interesting to you to do it this way than to just be another production and open on Broadway and stay in the same spot in New York?
This is actually a little bit more what I know. I know.
Yeah, I guess.
I know stadiums. Tour buses and arenas and stadiums and stuff. And I think I'd be way more nervous if it was sitting in one place, because then people could like come back multiple times and see me not do well. I don't know.
It's just so
They're
weird
too close. Yeah.
For you as a music fan that you have a job where you're traveling the country with Johnny Rotten. I mean, he's going to see you coming in high. You're going to want to talk to him all the time, right?
Or vice versa. I don't know.
I know I would. I know I would never run out of questions for him with the life that he's led.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He dresses real sharp, too. He's got some cool style. Got the same eyes as the stuff that we got to know from back in the day, too. Like, it's that same
little crazy
look in his eyes. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, this show sounds awesome, Brandon. Lisa, you're going to go see this, right?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
No,
Following
it really
all
does.
Over the country.
It really does. We're very excited for you, Brandon. Congratulations.
You.
We can't wait to see it when it comes to town, and we wish you nothing but success with it, my friend.
Thank you guys so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was very, very nice. Another sold-out Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Thanks, everybody came out. And then Saturday, had a little time with the wife, a little date night. And then Sunday, of course, was Mother's Day.
Yep.
Sure.
And we had a lovely day down there at Gladstone's. I hadn't been to Gladstone's in a long time.
Wow. There at Malibu. I heard they completely remodeled it since the last time we went.
I heard that too, and I went down there, and it's not completely remodeled.
No, it's really not.
It's pretty much the same. They just upgraded a little bit. They've got some new tables in there, no more peanut shells on the floor. You know, it's not as casual as it used to be. It's just a little bit nicer, which actually I think adds to things.
I like if you're going to go and remodel something, though, you just a touch.
Well, it's Gladstone's. It's iconic. I mean, it's been around forever. I don't think you needed to do much to that place.
You don't want to monkey with it.
Yeah. They just spruced it up a little bit, which I think was smart on their part.
All right.
And then spent some time on the beach. It was a lovely day.
I heard yesterday that Mother's Day is the busiest day in the United States of America for restaurants.
I can imagine that's
which
the case.
Makes a lot of sense, I guess.
Sure. You know, I had a better weekend than that guy in Florida. Did you hear about that guy in Florida?
What? Which one now?
23-year-old. Went out, got loaded. Apparently was pretty lonely. Couldn't find a lady to have any sexy time with.
No.
As Bean would say.
No, please, no.
So he did what he had to do. Kevin, what's your name? Kevin?
Kevin.
He reached for his empty can of beer. His empty beer can. And said, well, there's an orifice. That's right.
That's pretty sharp.
Well, you know what was the worst part, doctors say, was he decided to twist.
What?
Started to twist the beer can.
Oh.
Hospital spokesperson said he was cut to ribbons.
Oh, my God.
That isn't good for you.
That is not good for you.
Wow.
But he is expected to make a full recovery after they get the stitches out and all that stuff.
Nice job, dumbass.
Indeed.
Wow.
That's why I don't drink Budweiser. A beer can.
That just happened.
How embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
First of all, that you fit. That's all I kept thinking. If it was a Pringles can or something, I'd be a little more impressed. But
sure.
A beer can.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the weekend box office and see who made what. Neighbors in its debut. Number one this weekend. $51.1 million. Made it number one.
Kevin, how was it?
Awesome.
Yeah, as good as you hoped?
A little bit better. When you see a movie that, you know, you go, okay, I'm afraid I'm seeing all the good parts in the trailer, because a lot of times they really do have to give most of it away to get you there, but it was surprisingly good.
I could tell from the trailer. I thought there was going to be some depth there.
Now, are we willing to admit that Zac Efron is a decent actor?
In this movie, he was, I'd say, really good.
Seemed like he was well cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Really good.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was knocked out of the top slot by Neighbors. It made $37.2 million this weekend. Still not bad. The Other Woman was third. Heaven is for Real and Captain America the Winter Soldier were your top five films. Rio 2, Mom's Night Out, in its debut, made $4.2 million, making it number seven. Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, continued to convince me no one gives a rat's ass about the Wizard of Oz anymore. Made $3.7 million. Number eight, Divergent and Brick Mansions. Rounded out your top 10. You know, last week we talked to the lovely and talented Ari Granger from Bad Teacher.
Yep.
And we could have saved some time.
What? Really?
It was announced over the weekend that Bad Teacher, the TV series, has been canceled.
They couldn't have told us that before?
Apparently they were trying to stave that off, I'm guessing. Just three episodes, that show is gone bye-bye.
Look, it was a terrible show, but had some very good actors on it who all deserve better projects, including Ari and including our friend David Allen Greer.
Over the weekend, a lot of the networks talked about what they were canceling and what they were bringing back. CBS, besides canceling Bad Teacher, also canceled Friends with Better Lives. Could have saved some time on that Vanderbeek interview.
Okay.
Hostages. Intelligence. I didn't even know there was a show called Intelligence.
Yeah, that was. I liked Intelligence.
Did you?
The few episodes I saw.
That's so funny. You liked Intelligence.
How dare you,
I'm
sir.
Just saying.
How dare you?
And Robin Williams, the crazy one, has also gone bye-bye.
Thank God.
How dare you, sir. But they added a bunch of new shows. CBS did. Battle Creek, which I'm really looking forward to.
What is that?
That is the story of two detectives cleaning up the streets of Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It's from the creator of House.
Oh.
David
right.
Shore.
All right.
He's bringing us that. Cal Penn also stars in that. Madam wow. Secretary, Tia Leone, as a maverick female Secretary of State.
I love her.
Yeah. I like Veep, though.
Yeah.
I love Veep,
I feel like
too.
I've seen that. NCIS New Orleans.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
With Scott Bakula. The Odd Couple with Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon. Finally, someone's bringing The Odd Couple to television. Scorpion with Catherine McPhee and Robert Patrick. It's about spies. And Stalker, Kevin, with your girlfriend Maggie Q. Oh,
I love it.
She plays a detective in the threat management unit of the LAPD. So there's some potential there.
Are these all for September?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up on ABC, Nashville's coming back, which is good news for me.
And me.
And you.
And me.
And Bean. And now you know the rest of the story. Tim Allen's sitcom Last Man Standing still being brought back. Shark Tank's being brought back. The Bachelor, of course. America's Funniest Home Videos for a 25th season will be back.
Wow.
Dancing with the Stars. NBC canceled several shows.
This hurts me.
Community's gone after 5 seasons.
That makes me sad.
Revolution, after 2 seasons. Dracula, also canceled. But Hannibal's coming back.
Sweet.
Growing Up Fisher will not. Believe and Crisis, also not coming back.
These names of these shows.
They really are.
After a while, you can't figure out which one is which.
So, by the way, those are your favorite shows. You have my condolences.
Hannibal has done everything it can to get canceled in terms of the kind of show that it is, in terms of what, how honked up what they're putting on TV is. They're not making any kind of attempt to bring people into that show. It gets weirder and weirder every single week.
Good for
so
them.
God bless NBC for bringing it back.
Good for them. Today is May the 12th or 10th, depending on who you ask in the studio.
Well, one or the other.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah. Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on?
All these folks are born today, May the 12th. Ving Rhames is 55 years old today. Emilio Estevez is 52. Tony Hawk turns 46. Jason Biggs, 36 years old today. Love Biggs. Still owes me a car wash, though. Enough to get him on the horn. Malin Ackerman is 36 years old today. Trophy wife also gone, by the way.
Yeah.
And Emily Van Kemp. She's in that vengeful.
Revenge?
Revenge. She's in that show.
It is getting harder and harder to keep track of.
It's one word name. I just
it's TV show.
Crisis, Believe, Intelligence, Hostages, Vengeance, Scandal,
Resurrection,
revenge,
Revolution.
Resurrection. Tap a little more work in the title, something I can remember. Doing a crossword puzzle, for God's sakes. Emily Van Camp is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If your last name begins with a Z and you have a kid, do you give the kid a first name that also begins with a Z? Is that now super cool because he's ZZ?
Yeah,
or
I think
so. Are you burdening him?
Oh, no, I think you go right with ZZ.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Zach Zeno from Los Angeles. He just won his way into Coldplay at Royce Hall, UCLA. We got tickets for you. They're coming up on May 19th, by the way. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. We're giving away tickets for you every day this week at 9 a.m., then again at noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. So way to go, Zach.
So tonight on Anderson Cooper on CNN, he is going to interview Donald Sterling.
And oh, now this is big boy. Because Donald Sterling has had a – he made one comment to a print magazine. He's had a couple of off-the-record remarks. He's met with people about doing interviews. But this is the first time he's agreed to be spoken to on camera on television.
And he really is a whiny little bitch.
I agree.
He really just – he's like, I don't – listen. Listen to the beginning of his apology.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. Am I entitled to one mistake? Am I, after 35 years? I mean, I love my league. I love my partners. Am I entitled to one mistake? It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
The vice president of the NBA Players Association, Roger Mason, he said that the players won't accept anyone in the Sterling family owning the Clippers, not you, not your wife, not your son-in-law, not your daughter. Do you believe that?
I really don't know.
Yeah, you should, I think. I think you probably should. By the way, yeah. this is a guy who was named by Sports Illustrated as the worst owner in the history of sports, all sports.
But he's only made one mistake, Kevin.
Yeah, and by the way, what about all the sexual harassment lawsuits and racial discrimination lawsuits and the lawsuits that, and those are just with the people that work for him at the Clippers, and then the other ones that involve him being a landlord and a slumlord and everything like that. The guy's made a lot of mistakes. And when he says I'm a good member, is he referring to – does he mean as an owner
in
the NBA?
So.
Or is, okay.
Yeah,
or is he just talking about a member of the white race, which is probably what I was thinking as he said it.
I don't know. To me, it sounded like the owners. But I really think that the players and the fans deserve a new owner. Now, I'm a Laker fan, so it doesn't hurt me. But I think the people who have – I mean, there are people who have had season tickets for 20, 25 years. They deserve –
But that's here nor there in this situation.
They deserve another owner.
I agree. But I think that's unrelated to this. I'm fascinated that Donald Sterling thinks somehow that he's done a good job and that he is worthy of continuing to own a team. That's what's shocking to me.
Anderson Cooper goes on, and we're just playing some clips of the interview that's supposed to air tonight, to ask him why it took him so long to come out and say he's sorry.
Why wait so long to apologize? It's been a couple of weeks. You could have come out.
That's a very good question. I'm so emotionally distraught. And the reason it's hard for me.
He's almost crying.
Yeah.
You don't get to
like
cry.
Like he's the victim, right?
Very hard for me. I'm wrong. I caused the problem. I don't know how to correct it.
I feel like he's in waters that he's never been in before, though. Don't you feel like?
Well, yeah, and we've talked about this. When you are worth over $1 billion, you very rarely have people tell you that you're wrong or that you didn't do something in the best possible way. I mean, you are surrounded, you're insulated so much by that money that I think he very rarely has to apologize for anything.
Then he starts talking about Magic. Wait till you hear what he has to say about Magic Johnson.
Do you trust people? I mean, there have been a couple of phone recordings just in the last week or two that have come out of people you've talked to on the phone, or seems to be your voice, who then sold it to, Radar Online or TMZ. And I hear that, and I think, do you have anyone you trust around you?
I don't give interviews. The only one that I know that I talk to is Magic Johnson.
Now, is that surprising to anyone?
Yes. Very.
Because he named Magic Johnson by name in the tape? So he goes on.
You have talked to him?
Twice. And then,
Did you apologize?
He knew the girl, he said. He knew the girl well.
Did you apologize to him? Or?
Well, if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry.
Not answering the question.
I said anything wrong. You said, don't bring black people, don't bring Magic Johnson to my games, don't take photographs with him and put them on Instagram because I don't want to hear about it from my other racist white friends.
But he's not sure if that's wrong. So
if I did anything wrong.
He said anything wrong, then he's sorry. But that's not the end of him talking about Magic.
He's a good person and he...
Yes?
What am I going to say? Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so.
All right.
What?
So wait. Why are you now trying to throw the most popular person in L.A. under the bus when you're the least most popular person in L.A.?
And by the way, somebody who's been throughout their entire career dogged by these lawsuits and everything else, like you were saying, with the minority housing and all that kind of stuff. Magic has built... I don't know Magic personally. I don't know how much. It seems to me like he's done a lot more than most.
Seems to me like he's done more than anyone that I can think of for the minority community. That's unbelievable. And by the way, I still can't get over if I said anything wrong. And then he still didn't finish the sentence to say, I apologized for that. He didn't even give us that much.
But I'll say it. I'll say it. He's great. But
still talking about Magic.
Still black. I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
And that's what Donald Sterling has always been about.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable.
Quite the apology.
It's the children of Los Angeles.
How is he not a good example of the children of Los Angeles? Who doesn't want to grow up and be Magic Johnson?
I don't know. But I know that nobody wants to grow up and be Donald Sterling. That I know for a fact.
I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
Yeah. All right.
It's called two words. It's called media training, Donald Sterling. You get somebody who tells you how to answer these questions, you moron.
I love the fact that he did this interview. I love the fact that he has no idea why he's in trouble.
No.
I love the fact.
And he's still not apologizing.
He's still not if I said something that hurt somebody's feelings, which I'm still not sure about, then I'm sorry. But Magic Johnson certainly is not helping his people or any minority.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
It is funny.
It is funny.
I agree, but it's not.
It's a little touchy, though. I don't know that I would. Race relations, it seems.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Anderson, look, it's a big interview. You got to keep it together. You can't. All right.
That's
a pair of tickets to round two.
All right,
Anderson. Of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Los Angeles Kings.
Sorry, this actually never happened to me.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Let me give away the tickets here, though, Anderson. LA Kings versus the Anaheim. Versus the Ducks tonight, game five at Honda Center. We are looking for hockey fans. Right. You love the hockey? Give us a call.
Sorry. All right. Anderson.
You're fine. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to win those tickets next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Here my whole thing. The fact that Dave won a title fight last week is still not something I'm comfortable with.
100%. Well, and it makes it way worse on us.
His
because
contestant was ridiculously good.
Correct.
And his contestant's guy who says the cooks.
Dave, well, you're certainly the right person to bring up words.
I'm sorry,
take
what,
two.
Dave?
The guy who was giving the clues was great. Wow. That's what I wanted
you
to
mean
say.
That would be you.
That would be me. This guy.
We're talking about giving away tickets for tonight at Honda Center. So don't be on the phone right now if you can't go tonight to see Game 5 of Round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Kings and the Ducks, all knotted up at two games apiece. It's a game we like to call Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a
hockey playoff game.
All right, hockey playoff game. Tickets are what's on the line. We're going to be looking for the names of hockey teams. Just the names of the teams. Guys, I don't want either you, Lisa, or you, Dave, to give clues that have anything to do with the city, and the callers don't have to come up with the city. The cities are off the table here. We're just looking for the names of other NHL teams. You're going to be trying to describe those for our listeners. Kevin, who is our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant would be not on the line. Okay.
That is Ryan, line two.
Ryan, line two. Odd. I thought we said line four. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
Ryan, you are going to be our first contestant here, so we're going to give you your choice of who you'd like to be your partner in Kevin and Bean's title fight. Who do you want to be delivering the clues to you?
Lisa. Let's go with Lisa Mack.
Yeah. Good call. Lisa's absolutely the right call. Lisa. All right, 45 seconds on the clock. If you get into a bind here, you can't think of something, just not making any sense, you can go ahead and say skip, and then if you've got time at the end, you can come back and pick it up. But let's see how many you can get in 45 seconds. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
Good luck.
There are angels, and the opposite of that would be?
Devils.
Uh-huh. These are birds in the South Pole.
Penguins.
Birds use these to fly.
Red wings.
Uh-huh. There's the queen, and she's married to the
king.
When snow comes rushing down and
avalanche.
Okay.
Ooh.
Keep going.
And in the water, this will bite you. It's a great white.
So, time left on the clock, and he got all six that Lisa had to choose from.
Yes.
I don't know that we've ever had anyone get six, by the way.
Dave, how you feeling now?
I'm great.
All right.
I just like the way the rules change.
I didn't know. Okay.
Nicely done, now, Ryan.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on now to Erica. She's on line seven. She is going to be the contestant.
What was the time on that, Kevin? 45.
45 seconds, yeah, total.
No, I know. What was the time at least I got? Yeah.
What if his gets everything? Then it's who did it quickest.
I'm watching Beer Mug just fast forward and rewind. Right. I don't know.
That probably won't be a problem.
So we'll go on the tape at the end if we have to. How about that? All right, Erica, don't be that good because then we'll have to do math and math is hard. So 45 seconds on the clock.
I got a girl?
Steve?
Oh, Dave,
what is wrong with you?
It.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's
sorry, Erica.
Yeah, sorry, Erica.
I'm sorry that Dave is your partner, but you ready to go? You got any questions? Are you cool?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's
All right.
go, Dave.
All right, okay, good luck.
All right, this is a bear, but it's a young bear. Or it's a type of bear.
Really?
Yep. All right, these are mallards that go quack.
Ducks.
Mm-hmm. A fire produces this.
Flames.
All right, these are up in the sky.
Clouds?
Nope. These are up in the sky. They're bright. They shine bright.
Oh,
really?
Something else.
Come on. They shine bright. It's north,
lightning,
south.
Lightning?
Nope. In the sky. Everyone looks up to them. Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Sorry.
All right. These are type of dogs that are wild, but they're not really dogs. Okay. And these fly up in the sky.
They fly up in the sky?
Yeah.
Well,
I hate Erica.
There.
I hate Erica.
Come on, you could have done a little better.
All right, oh, I'm sorry. You look up in the sky. What do you see?
She came up with lightning. That was pretty good.
No. Lightning comes down to the earth.
He wanted stars. He wanted
stars. And remember, these are NHL teams.
Stop yelling at her. You're the
Erica. Enjoy the game on TV.
Wow, tough room. I'm sorry, Erica. Ryan, congratulations. You're going to be at Honda Center tonight to see the Ducks versus the Kings. Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph Kramer. What's going on?
It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do each and every Monday morning. Neighbors, in its debut with $51.1 million, knocked The Amazing Spider-Man out of the top slot. Spidey just made $32.2 million, still pretty strong.
That's a lot for an R-rated movie, isn't it? 51?
Neighbors did better. Yeah. Yeah, did very well. The Other Woman, Heaven is for Real, Captain America the Winter Soldier were your top five movies. Then Rio 2, Mom's Night Out, Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. The animated film did just $3.7 million in its debut, but that was good enough to make it number eight. Divergent and Brick Mansions were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Now that Stephen Colbert is leaving Comedy Central for his own late-night show at CBS, what will happen to that big gaping hole that housed the Colbert Report after The Daily Show? Well, Hollywood Reporter has announced that Comedy Central has picked the successor for that time slot, none other than Larry Wilmore from The Daily Show. He is very funny on that show.
Which one is he?
He is the African-American gentleman.
Ah.
He's the senior black correspondent,
yes,
Kevin.
He is funny.
Yes, he's very funny.
I like him.
He's been the senior black correspondent since 2006. He'll be relocating to New York City to do his new show, which will be called The Minority Report with Larry Wilmore. I love the city of New York, said Larry, and I promise only to wear my Laker t-shirts when I'm layering. So he's going to wear those deep under his sweater, I guess. When he's
he needs to get Donald Sterling on as a first guest.
He should.
That'd be the way to debut that show, wouldn't it?
Let him apologize to him.
Right?
Most experts were positive, and I was one of them, that Britney Spears was going to fail big time in Las Vegas, but we were all wrong. The show, despite what many critics and audience members have said about the show itself, is doing very well.
Is that right?
So much so that, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, she has been offered an additional $12 million to extend her run at Planet Hollywood for two more years. Her original $30 million deal expires at the end of 2015. If she signs the new deal, Britney will be in Vegas until Christmas of 2016, giving lots of people a chance to go and watch her sluggishly stumble around the stage while she lip-syncs to her greatest hits.
There was a time a few years ago, though, that we would not have believed that in 2014 and now 15 and 16, she would still be pulling down $10, $12 million a year singing. Didn't look like she was going to have that kind of longevity, but I guess people have some real affection for that music.
Well, here's what I've found to be the case in this modern, live on the razor's edge world that we live in, where everything is consumed so very quickly via so many different outlets.
Right.
Nostalgia happens a lot faster now than it
absolutely
used to. Used to be, for nostalgia to make an act viable again, about 20 years would have to go by. And everybody would say, oh, remember that band we liked back when we did that? And then they go, let's go see them again. And bands were able to have a second bite at the apple with their careers because they could go out on the tour circuit and make good money again. Now that we burn through material so quickly in terms of pop culture, nostalgia happens very quickly. And like 5 years later, like, oh, remember that old band 5 years ago we were dancing to? Let's go see them again. That sounds
totally
like fun.
It's kind of like, you know, we talk so much about rebooting Spider-Man after 5 years. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, it seems like there's almost a complete turnover in our pop culture interest in that period of time.
Yeah. The new... so it just wouldn't be a Britney story without that telltale laughter drop that the kids love so much.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm being facetious. This is all dripping with sarcasm, this whole comment thing here.
Look up facetious.
Hot punch, holy moly! Yeah.
Hot punch, holy moly! What's going on? Hot punch, holy moly! I'm gonna have some fun!
See, you weren't here Friday when Ralph decided this was gonna be a thing.
My new catchphrase.
I sure wasn't.
Yeah. It's my new catchphrase.
That's
it's sweeping the nation.
Is it now?
Yes.
Define sweeping the nation.
I've received several emails of support.
Now, I understand, Ralph, that it turns out that it's from a popular Detroit children's television show. Is that right?
Well, apparently it was produced in Detroit, but I remember watching it as a kid in Philadelphia.
Oh, right? Okay. So it was something that that you saw as well.
That's something about that jingle and that segment of that show, which was called Hot Fudge, lodged itself into my subconscious to the point where I would use that as an exclamation quite often throughout the entirety of my life. And I was using it on the show, and someone, one of our listeners who's from Detroit, said, I know where that's from. That's from that kid show. And he sent me the clip of the audio, and it struck me like a thunderbolt. I was like, oh, that's right. That's where I got that from. So now it's come full circle.
And that's just for, like, today, though, and then it peters out, right?
So now, from now until the end of time, my new catchphrase will be...
The end of time?
Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah!
Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on?
Exclamation for surprising facts, including, including this
very
one.
Contemporary sounding.
Miley Cyrus playing a secret show Friday night at a gay nightclub in London. That surprised a lot of people. She jumped up on stage and told the crowd, everyone's a little gay. All it takes is one cocktail. And if that doesn't work, sprinkle something in their drink.
Okay.
Oh, Miley. Wow. Brilliant. Oh, Miley, with your date rape comedy, you're so entertaining and cutting edge. Then she took the stage with a giant inflatable penis, which she proceeded to simulate a number of sex acts on, and then did the same with a blow-up male sex doll. Oh, Miley. Miley, you cutting-edge artist, you. We tip our hat to you, Miley.
Do we?
No.
Do we have a hat?
Dumb whore. Dumb llama-faced whore. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ving Rhames is 55 years old today. Emilio Estevez turns 52. Tony Hawk, skateboard legend, 46 years old. At what point do you stop skateboarding for fear of breaking a hip?
I don't know, but he seems to still be able to do it.
Very talented guy. Yeah. I'm not saying this is the age.
I don't know what the age
is. I'm saying at 46, you got more skateboarding behind you than you do ahead of you.
Probably.
At what point do you say, now I'm going to hang up my deck, as the kids say?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Jason Biggs. He's 36 years old today. Malin Ackerman celebrates her 36th birthday as well. And Emily Van Camp turns 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dan from the Black Keys.
Ooh,
talking
nice.
About their new album, Turn Blue. Very excited about that. We have another edition of Lightning Strikes. He went out before the Clippers game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's something.
He's energetic. I got to give Lightning credit for that. He is definitely energetic.
He's energetic. He is something. The stars of Fake...